up, everybody? This is Carrick with ACG, and I'm here with Abzi, Johnny, Silver, and Reg, the international podcast, best gaming podcast ever. First thing I want to say, thanks to these guys. Second thing I want to...
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Say, I'm doing the alert a little bit different, which may not go out to as many people. So if you guys have a chance, I would love for you to go right now to Twitter and Facebook and tell people that you're watching and tell them to come join. Let's just start right now. Let's not even... Let's not
Are we actually live this time? Like, yeah. This is it?
It says we're live.
This is it.
I'm not doing that entire entry again. So,
what's up, guys?
that was pretty low effort. I mean, it's not
that
like...
That was no effort, and I'll go in even lower next time. Like, it's just... Here's us. Let's go.
No sponsored bullcrap.
Somebody else can say that for us.
Yeah,
somebody
there you go.
Say that for us. Okay. That's just stupid. People who do that are just like, when you say no sponsor bullcrap, it's like, we don't believe you.
We need to get you some sponsors, non-gaming, get some beard stuff, some Audible.
Got sponsored by Ubisoft now.
Oh yeah. Hey, wait for their game. Hey, don't buy their game. Hey, wait for their game. Sponsored by Ubisoft.
They wouldn't say no, dude. They love it when you shit on their game.
Yeah,
they love it.
I don't know if they love
it. Thrive on it.
They're definitely not against it. So let's jump in. Everybody in the chat, what have you been playing? What have you guys been playing? Feel free. Anybody can go first.
Weird West?
Is that it?
Yeah. Just more Elden Ring, Weird West, Tiny Tina's. And yeah, that's it.
Okay. Reg?
Naturally Lost Ark, but also Weird West and Tunic.
Damn, that's sort of an eclectic mix. What about you, Silver?
Still more Elden Ring, bit of Norco, and a bit of a game we'll also talk about called, let me just look it up. Heaven Dust 2. Yeah,
that was Heaven it. Dust 2. All right, what about you, Johnny?
You had to look up what you're playing. Sorry.
yeah, I don't remember the title. Like, I have 100 indie titles in my head.
When someone asks you how old you are, you're like, wait, let me do the arithmetic.
I actually had to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
I was going to say, I finished Horizon Forbidden West this week. Great game. We can talk about it later. Tiny Tina is what I'm playing now, about 20 hours in, fucking around quite a bit, and really enjoying it so far. They have a couple things that I really liked, like the new spells, and some of the quests are actually kind of fun and lighthearted.
The goblin one?
In a refreshing way. I like that one. I like the Smurfs one. I like the Magic Beanstalk. Segment.
Oh, I haven't done that yet. Yeah, I haven't done that yet. No.
But we saw it in the trailer or in some of the. So hopefully, I'm not spoiling it for people. But.
What's up, Miss Bubbles? Thanks for showing up. I appreciate it. We got Tristan Martin, $10 super chat. Johnny be looking like a whole snack.
Look at that.
Well, actually, technically, Johnny ruined the surprise, which is that Tom Cruise will be on this podcast, pimping exactly. Top Gun
there
2.
He is.
I can't wait to
Alternatively, we might be having a jam session with a garage band. Yeah,
it's one of those two. Whichever one sounds more realistic. Probably the Tom Cruise one. I mean, to be brutal.
Yeah, for sure.
You could, Tom Cruise with his one middle tooth coming in, showing us black magic. I think it'd be awesome.
You spoiled it for me. Like, I don't know who it was. If it was
when
you, Carrick,
When I showed you his middle tooth.
I had never seen that. Yeah,
dude,
I
once you see
ever...
Tom Cruise's middle tooth, it never goes away. Like, that's all you see. I see a tooth now. I don't even see his face. It's just like Tom Cruise.
But I met him in real life.
You met Tom Cruise in real life?
Yeah, he's short as fuck. I saw him in Dubai.
Oh, of course. Yeah. He's very short.
He's really short.
Huh. No, but he's pretty strong, right? Like
your entire meeting with Tom Cruise equated to you agreeing with whatever.
I was a kid,
knew.
Dude. I was like, "Holy shit, you're short!" But
you didn't
say
anything. You didn't get a what a dick. You didn't have him sign your waist as high as he could, as high as he could reach. You didn't have.
I
him
just
sign
gave
your
him
belt.
A hug because I was very impressed by how short he was. Because
you were 7 and still already taller than him,
something like that.
He wears those platform shoes during acting. You know, when he's acting across from leads and stuff like that are really tall. And I'm always like, it doesn't bother me. I mean, I'm not going to meet the dude. He's short. He's also got 10 times more money than me. 10.
Well, 10.
I said exactly. 10. That's just stupid to say. People are
also
playing,
Scientology. Hell yeah.
People are playing Tiny Tina. Let's see. People are playing Wild West or Weird West. I'm sorry. Elden Ring. Kirby. Ghostwire. Oh yeah, Ghostwire. I was like, "What? What's that game?" Forbidden West, Tiny Tina's
Wonderlands.
Oh yeah,
I tried that one too. I tried Ghostwire.
Oh, Neo Conquer says replaying the Yakuza series.
Nice.
Very cool. Good series to play.
Well, that's
Yeah, it's a perfect. Long time. See you when the new game comes out. Right. Witch
Amazing
Queen
series.
From Destiny 2, Kraken Academy, and I am Setsuna.
Yeah,
I think I pronounced that right. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some Tunic, some Final Fantasy XIV, whichever number that is. I can't remember. That's
14.
Let's see. Elden Ring, Bloodborne, Sifu. Sifu. Awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a game that could easily be lost. Finished Horizon, trying out Weird West, falling back to some city builders to chill.
It's unfortunate, right? If it came out around now, it would have been a great time because stuff is kind of dying off a little bit.
Yeah, I want to play Tiny Tina soon. Oh, Miss Bubble says. So I don't know what she's playing. What are you playing? Tiny Tina makes me want to bang my head on a wall, but at this point, so does Lost Ark. I don't know what that means. Looking forward to Star Wars Lego.
Oh, dude, I'm actually excited for that one, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's see. Trying out Midnight Ghost Hunt. It's early access, well-optimized, and fun. I believe that came out of early access last night. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, okay. I'm pretty sure that is finally out after 4 years.
It's the one we saw like at E3 like a couple of years ago.
We watched that stream, right?
It's like the prop hunt, right?
Prop hunt?
It's just prop hunt, right? Like people disguise as props and then people have to go and shoot.
Oh,
yeah, kind of.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Vox Machina, somebody's doing VR. Wait a minute. I think that's the VR mech game that he's talking about, which is awesome, by the way. Arkham Asylum for the first time. Kaito Files. Sorry. Every once in a while.
I read that as
Keto.
Like
Kaito.
The diet.
Leaps up.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I've also been playing a bit of Hunt Showdown with Lemon Streak and another friend.
Cool.
Oh, good game. Good.
Deathloop, Lost Judgment, Midnight Ghost Hunt. Oh, somebody's playing AC Odyssey, Ragnarok, Dying Light 2. All right. That's it for those. Oh, wait, just finished Hellblade. What an amazing game. Prey.
Oh, nice.
All right, let's jump into the first bit of news and get this thing. Actually, let's talk real quick about Tiny Tina. Does anybody have any updates, thoughts on it?
I'm just enjoying it, like just killing shit. Not much to it, really. Just enjoying playing it with my girlfriend, just killing stuff and fun quests. Nothing really that, like, there's some stuff that set it apart from the other Borderlands.
Right.
But it's essentially the same thing. But I like the overworld thing. Other than that, yeah, there's not much that makes it too D&D. There's not like you know, as we talked about this, like the weapons and stuff like that.
Dice rolling.
It's still pretty much more Borderlands, yeah. Except it has a good villain. I like Will Arnett.
Yeah,
and,
he's awesome.
Yeah.
He's really, really good.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm just like enjoying my time. Not much else to it, really.
All right, gotcha. Anybody else?
There's a couple things for
me.
Yeah. So it's interesting. They deliberately decided to not go too far from the formula, right? So they could have very easily revamped some things. Like, for example, you have some melee classes in the game, like the hammer guy. But they're still not melee, right?
I know, yeah.
The weapon only comes out when you press.
And it doesn't look great in
your review.
When you do it either.
It doesn't look great.
No.
Right?
It doesn't. So when you get a new melee weapon, you can't even tell, like, if it looks any different. Like,
exactly.
A scythe and an axe.
So I think that was a conscious decision because they, you know, they're catering this to Borderlands fans, right? And if they had changed it a whole lot, maybe people wouldn't have liked it. So I'm okay with it. I would have liked to see some experimentation there. But on the positive side, I really like the idea. I think it's kind of genius of replacing the grenade slot with the spells, right? Yeah. So all of a sudden, you have all this creativity they have with the guns, but put into the spells. So you have this additional thing. And not only that, but one of the classes allow you to cast two or have two spells equipped, which is the one that I'm doing.
Spell weaver guy?
Spell shot, yeah.
Spell shot, yeah.
And not only that, but then at some point you can combine two classes, right? And then you get like your full tree, which is pretty cool. And you can get some cool synergies. Like you can have a companion build where, you know, you get the two companions from two of the classes, different things like that.
That'd be cool, yeah.
Pretty cool. Yeah, so I'm digging it quite a bit. The writing feels much more enjoyable than Borderlands 3 in terms of the story, outside of some few moments like the Penn and Teller boss or some others, really was quite lacking for me. And so pretty good. Mindless fun.
Miss Bubbles was asking, says that she had heard the humor was poor or not incredibly great, and if that's true. And I would certainly say there were parts where I did laugh. Will Arnett is pretty cool, but he doesn't get to do his full thing. Like, he doesn't sort of...
It's hit or miss.
It's like they're on chains a little bit. Yeah, so it's a bit hit or miss. But there are parts that were funny. There were mm-hmm. And it's just... I don't even agree on the stick... because it's Borderlands, we have to stick to guns. I think the melee could have just been where if you swing the weapon, that's what's out. If that's your class, that's what sits out. And you can still switch the guns as normal if you fire the
See,
trigger,
that would have been cool. Like, imagine okay like that. A Vermintide thing,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Where it's like just a melee class. I would have wanted that for sure.
Because that small change would have at least allowed us to say, oh, it is D&D. And instead, mm-hmm. it's just a bunch of sniper rifles until somebody swings a close weapon because guys get too close to them. Which is even with, because even the spells are almost all ballistics. So it's like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah, I mean,
I
even
know. Weird.
Even like Borderlands 2 had. You could basically go melee with some classes. Like you could kind of do it with Zero. You could also do it with Krieg, like the super psycho class. You could also go melee with him. So yeah.
Dad Beats, $10 super chat. As usual, nice to see everybody. Thank you for the objectivity and good to see Iceman, aka Johnny. It's true. That is who he looks like. Iceman.
Cheers.
Val Kilmer. Cheers.
That was a good like interpretation. I like that.
It's Paul one of my favorite movies. Borderlands is a nice break from other style of games, but it's not for everybody. The rogue class has so much potential, but the lack of real up close mechanics plus being more limited on guns makes me sad. Yeah. I had a lot of apology posts on that review where people were like, once I started, I see what you're talking about now. Same thing happened with Weird West. Weird West is the most positive YouTube thread I've ever seen for me personally.
Wow.
It is crazy. There were people returning going like, holy shit, this all last night in the Discord, all last night in YouTube and on Twitter. People are just like, this game is a blast. That game has outsold all games but Elden Ring. It's number two on Steam.
It's crazy.
That's
the
insanity.
Thing about it is I think somehow you can not play it the wrong way, but make it less fun for yourself.
Easy.
You know
if
what
you
mean?
Put that game on easy, it's not going to require you to use half the stuff. It's not going to require you to care about spells. If you put it on the higher difficulties, it requires all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of that. And we can slide into that actually because Tiny Tina's pretty much done. So it came out, it's about in the 80s, 70s to 80s when you gather everything up, which I think is pretty stupid. But regardless, I don't mean the score is stupid. I mean, I don't care too much about Metacritic. But yesterday I did my review, loved it. There were some things wrong. Abzi's played it. Sounds like Reg has played it a little bit. Johnny, did you say you had also played it or not?
Nope, not yet.
Okay.
Nope.
So what are you thinking overall, Reg, even though it's a small amount of time? Then we'll jump to Abzi because he's played the most.
So... Yeah, I like it so far. I did actually, despite knowing that it is on Game Pass, buy it on Steam because I also wanted to play it on the Steam Deck where it works okay. Not amazing, but it works okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been switching back and forth between desktop and the Steam Deck of playing that.
Okay.
Yeah, I like just riding around the area, just taking out the little hits on those I take from the board.
Yeah, getting my bounties.
Money, getting my bounties, just rushing in, pretty much hiding out or hiding out in the bush, killing the target, and then taking the next horse and just zooming off again.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Which is what I usually go for. And so far, that's been working pretty well.
All right. What about you?
Lost some companions already as yeah. well, though.
Yeah.
Which is
they're worth their money. They're worth their money. I'll just say that if you pay less for a companion, they're gonna.
The return will be less. What about you, Abzi?
Okay, so I love immersive sims. Like, it's probably my favorite genre to play, especially on PC. Mm-hmm. When I heard about this game, they talked about it and they're like, okay, this is an immersive sim. But I'm so used to immersive sims being first person, right? Mm-hmm. So I didn't know what to think about it being top down. But somehow this is the most immersive sim I've ever played, even though it's not first person, even though it's not following the same kind of formula all the others have been. You can interact with so many objects in the world, like pretty much everything. A lot of stuff you think about, you can think to yourself, okay, maybe if I do this, you know, maybe that will happen. Most of the time it would work, which is really fucking cool. I robbed a bank, you know, I did a bunch of shit. I made people angry at me. People have vendettas. There's a bounty on me. And I made some friends too. I think the first thing that really popped out to me when starting the game is the intro. I think it has a really fucking good intro when you first launch the game. Mm-hmm. The music really, really stands out. They combined like dark fantasy with Western with like an electronic twist to it. Mm-hmm. And it's really fucking cool. Some of these tracks are very, very unique. Another thing that really also popped out is in the dialogue. So in the very beginning of the game, you interrogate someone, right? And I was interrogating that person. And what I haven't really seen in a lot of other games is, so they give you like a couple dialogue options. And the order of them. Kind
of, like, I now know what you're talking
about. You know
about.
What you're talking about, right? It's really fucking cool.
It is
like,
cool. It's rarely done.
It's rarely done. So I chose an option where it was like, I broke the dude's finger before like asking him nicely. Well, right.
Naturally.
And after I broke the dude's finger, the options remained the same. But I tried the other option and he responded with, dude, you already broke my fucking finger.
Yeah.
And I was like, God damn, like that's actually pretty cool. Like, neat attention to detail. The only thing that, you know, gets on my nerves sometimes, because I'm playing this on very hard, mm-hmm. is when motherfucking mutants ambush me and I'm just trying to get back to my hometown. Yeah. That got annoying because they're really tough. Mm-hmm. And all it made me do is just reload my save over and over. But thankfully, it's different each time you reload your save. Even enemies. So I'm doing a lot of stealth in this game. And stealth in this game is very different than a lot of other games that you're used to. You can't really just like sit in one place and study enemy patrols.
Yeah.
And even if you die and reload that save, it's not going to be the same patrol. It's not going to be the same pattern. So it's very, very difficult in that regard. But you can do things that... You can like turn off lanterns and it makes enemies come and turn it back on to you for you. You can like, lock doors and they figure out how to open it. Or you can like, you know, cause disturbances. You can do a bunch of shit that kind of, you know, bait enemies. And, you know, I was baiting enemies into one room and like stacked a fucking metric ton of bodies in that one room and just hid them there and locked the door, which was pretty cool. You can do like wacky stuff like that. So stealth in that game has been very, very interesting. Jumping, vaulting, parkouring is really cool too. And jump on top of rooftops, jump from rooftop to rooftop. I infiltrated a bank without anyone seeing me. No safes coming, nothing. And it just felt really fucking good. You can use like ropes to climb down like rooftops and stuff. You can, there's a lot of different options there. And it really like, you know, it really lives up to the immersive sim genre, which I'm happy with.
Yeah, I mean, like, dude, I got sent some other positive reviews to look at because I usually don't get a chance to watch reviews because I'm working on something. And every one of them, Rigged for Epic did one, which I posted. PC Gamer did one. And another person did one. I apologize. I can't remember. But they were all saying shit that I hadn't even thought of. like legit hadn't thought of. And then last night on Twitter, people were starting to report back stuff they did. And I was like, I played that game for fucking 70 hours. I didn't even realize you could jump on top of buildings for a while. Like, cause it doesn't, it just lets you if you have, and then, but I, you know how I figured it out? Because one of the perks allows you to jump higher.
And I was like, fall damage, yeah.
Why would that matter that I could jump higher? And then I walked over to something, jumped up, got on and was like, oh my God, this changes everything. I didn't rob the bank. You and a bunch of other people have already described four or five weird ways to rob the bank. Plus, timing it is different. They timed it where the bad guys were in the bank. Or not bad guys. The cops were in the bank. So he had to figure out a way out. Somebody else did it at night where there was nobody in there. And then you have to figure a way out. It's just all this weird stuff. There is that game is one of the most deep and like complex immersive sims I think I've played. I saw people kicking like fucking lanterns into people's heads, stuff.
I infiltrated the bank at night. There's like a bodyguard outside and the door was locked and there's just like a couple people inside, and I actually baited the bodyguard to go somewhere else because I caused a disturbance, but they never found out it was me, so I caused them to leave. I found the key and then I infiltrated the bank that way. And yeah,
I just want to correct somebody in the chat. Very cool. It can be top down people, but it's not top down. You can actually zoom in.
You can zoom in a lot.
And you can go almost horizontal in your view. Just so people know, it's 3D in that way. It's 2D is just sort of how a lot of us play because you want to zoom out a little bit because you want to see everything. But the mini map tells you where people's eyes cones are, you know, so it's like most of the time you don't even have to do
that. One other thing, sorry, I also really like the UX, man. I really, really like the UX, like the sound effects when you're clicking on things and like looting stuff feels fucking good.
When you get a special ace, you'll hear that bling. The composer did something weird, so like you know you grabbed something special instead of
looting feels so good, and there's a lot of looting in that game. Zooming in definitely helps, like seeing stuff around you to loot,
and
you
breaking can loot, down like, guns barrels in and everything. Their inventory. Abzi.
Yes, that's one thing I found out last night.
Yeah,
and I was like, this is incredible because I was so you can break down guns in your inventory for ammo and sometimes parts to upgrade guns. And when you're looting someone, you can just hold G and just break it down in their inventory before you even loot it. So you don't have to go again in your inventory.
Yeah.
You can right click out of menus.
I didn't know that. That got patched in. So that's good.
Yes, you can right click.
I always picked it up and then.
Yep.
You have to press escape. Yeah. It's I love that you can right click out of stuff.
Yeah, that's
just
awesome.
The UX. UX is like making the game really good for me. So
also, the idea that they split abilities and perks is mind-blowing. I had never thought of that. Most games will separate it. Even Octopath Traveler has your stories, but they don't meet. This game isn't about that. So it's like your abilities are yours. The pig can squirt out
perks
gas.
Stay the same?
But the perks stay for each character.
Oh, thank God.
So
oh, my God.
Whatever perks you buy, when you jump into the new guy, he's got those perks. And it's awesome. So there's no returning back to playing it complete. I don't jump less. I jump just what I was doing. I don't do this less. I can do just what I was doing. And then you can mix and match your abilities. But the best part, and I said this in the review, people, this magic system with the amulets is fucking, it is amazing. And I don't think Abzi's even got an amulet yet.
I got one where it was like it increased my attack when I'm low health or something.
So the I think those are pretty normal, right? If you get hurt, you do a little bit more damage. But the ones that I got were like at night, wet, being electrified, on fire. And so I was throwing electric grenades at my feet to trigger the perk. It's so beyond belief in what you can do. It's like I couldn't find anybody to electrocute me, so I'm like, fuck, I'll drop it at my feet and see what happens.
Oh, dude, speaking of that, one thing I found really cool is there was a door that was blocked, and it said it needs electricity to operate. And there was like little things. So I was trying to figure out what to do, but then I remembered I had an ability that made my shots electric, and I just shot the door and it opened. And I was
can use your weapon on it to electrify it to open. Like it's exactly what I want in an immersive sim.
Sam.
And you can fucking put your items on dead bodies, come back, the body will be there for a couple days, and then if you don't get it, they'll bury them in the local cemetery, and you can go to the cemetery, dig them up, and get your shit. It's just so fucking ludicrous. It's like that. They thought of everything.
That took me by surprise, dude. I left like a little box there. I infiltrated a place and killed everyone there, and I left a box there because it needed like 3 lockpicks.
Uh-huh.
So on my travels, I was like, okay, maybe I go back there and open that box. I found more people there, and I was like, oh shit, did they respawn? Nope, they didn't respawn. These are other people that also buried their friends that I've killed before. So there's a little graveyard now. Yeah, their little graveyard now, and all the loot I didn't pick up from those enemies are in those graves.
Yeah, so you have to figure out if you want to, you know, how do you get them away? And Sean H, $5 super chat. Johnny, you can be my wingman anytime. That's from Doom Spiral, actually. Dude, so it's nuts. It is so immersive, and there's so many different things you can do. And the idea that, like, just reading Twitter and just reading and going into a review Discord, there's about 9 to 15 reviewers in there at any one time. And small reviewers, book reviewers, as well as video games. And they just started talking about what they did. Nothing was the same thing I did. And like you said, it is random. So if you die and restart, then there might not be an item in this. There might not even be a town there. But another thing, kill everybody in the town, it becomes abandoned. Bandits can move in. And so now... go, and by the way, from what I can tell, if a bandit camp is there, there's a higher chance of getting bandits if you ride around it, like being interrupted. But also, not only can bandits show up, if it's near another town, there's a chance town folk will move in and come back. It's just like there's so many little things going on in that game. And so much duality in what you can do.
And
so,
there's a lot you can do. Like, sometimes quests don't tell you exactly what to do. Yeah. Like, collecting a debt from someone, it's like, figure out how to collect it. You do your thing. You want to kill her. You want to, like, bribe. You do your, you know, you have a bunch of options there, which I really appreciate.
I also like the fact that you can lock doors if you have the key for that door, because that changed how I played. I played one place I was really getting smoked or always being seen. And then I went a totally different route, found the key for a door, and then I could get into there, lock the door, and now my new sort of base of checking out how I was going to do things was there.
Hey, man, you can also block the door. I tried it. You can put a barrel on there or something. I put, like, a poison barrel right in front of a door so they couldn't open the door.
What? Yeah, I didn't know that either. I didn't.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, dude, it's insane. Also, the reading, I love that it'll give you little hints about upcoming stuff. It'll give you hints about enemies. Then they start telling stories about you. Like, you'll start to read the newspapers, and it'll be, like, updated. It'll be like, so-and-so was let go. And you're like, oh, shit, that was me. Like, and then it's like, now they're raping, pillaging. And you're like, oh, dude, I probably should have killed that guy. So then you go to the bounty board, you grab it.
Your actions have real consequences.
And they have them through each level, too. I don't want to spoil it, but every character you are in that game, you not only can meet the character from the prior journeys, but you can work with it. Yeah,
that's really cool. I also, because in Prey, my favorite thing was reading people's emails and learning more about the world.
Yeah, right.
There's a lot of mystery there, and there's a lot of cool stuff, a lot of cool lore that they made, and it's pretty fucking weird.
Let's see. I got some people talking about how long was Weird West in development? 4 years, from what I heard this morning, because the composer I was talking to had stated he had been working on it for 4 years. So I'll just say that. Let's see. First time live. I truly enjoy your podcast weekly. Thank you very much, Big Bear. You're welcome. Thank you. I just bought Weird West on Steam, Necro says. Well, remember, it is on Game Pass, so really it's not even
The writing is really good.
Writing is really good. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the breaking fingers thing, I love. It's not even just that they know, it's what they say. Like when you say, I'll trust, or I'll help you. He goes, well, my 3 broken fingers don't say that. And I'm just like, what the fuck?
Dude,
that is
that's
amazing.
A thing.
That
Dude,
is
that's
amazing.
A thing I've been complaining about a lot in games with dialogue options. It's usually just exhaust every dialogue.
Yeah, like Mass
option.
Effect, where you just beat somebody and you're like, so tell me about the history of the world. They're like, no problem.
Yeah.
And he's all bloody from you kicking his ass. And you're like, the guy wouldn't want to talk.
With this one, maybe because there's no voice acting, maybe it made it easier, but everything feels natural. Like, the progression of dialogue feels very, very natural.
And dude, when you go into a place, you make a mistake and you start seeing Vendetta created.
That's why don't save scum. Listen, a lot of cool shit can
scum.
Happen.
Yeah.
Don't save scum.
Yeah, that's half of the reason. Don't play it on easy, because it's not going to require you to even engage with the game very much. And just play it on normal. But also, and watch out for friendly fire. I killed horses, people, Like, when I first jumped into that game, I was like, let's do boom, boom, boom. And people were just dying around me. And I was like, that looks like that's a good guy. And then I looked down and my posse was all dead. I was like, oh, shit. And you really do have to watch and leap up onto rocks to get, like, aim and, it, like, all that kind of stuff. It's just so good. Let's see. What else? Graphics are okay. They're, you know, rough.
Cool art style, but Borderlands it's not, yeah.
One kind of thing. You know, pretty like, grimy.
How do you guys feel dark. About the controls? Because this is mostly a mouse game, isn't it?
I would say that's the place where... Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Abzi.
Sorry, yeah, no. Yeah, so it got a little bit getting used to. There seems to be, like, when you're turning the camera horizontally, sometimes you can't turn it vertically. You got kind of have to stop and turn it vertically or something.
Oh, damn.
So that took a bit to get used to. It seems more like a controller thing, but other than that, it seems like it works very well with mouse.
So
like
here's one of the things they have too, Abzi. You're doing mouse and keyboard or gamepad?
Mouse and keyboard.
So with mouse and keyboard, one of the things they wanted to do is make it so you couldn't just circle around and destroy everybody. So if you have aim on, you can't twist the camera. You're aiming down the sights. If you let go of aim, you can then twist the camera. And they were like, we wanted that so that a person might go around a corner and decide, okay, I'm going to need to pause for a second, twist the camera to look around the corner. I'm not in love with it. I like their idea of it, but I do find that at times I was at an odd angle because I was in such a panic that I had aim crash down. Like I was holding it and I was always ready to aim. And so I couldn't like swivel the camera. I like the idea of it, but it's just, that would probably be my big one. And also the fact that it takes into account elevation of your gun. And so if you don't aim your reticle at the enemy, you can shoot in front of you. So, and which might make sense. You may not want to shoot the enemy. You may want to shoot the dynamite you dropped. The problem is if you have explosive shells for the shotgun, make sure you're not aiming wrong, because I killed myself multiple times by whipping out the shotgun, being like, you're dead. And I had it lined up, but the cursor was at the tip of my barrel, which means it's just going to blow up right there. And I was like, boom!
Oh, damn. Well,
all right, that's the end of that. Yeah.
Yeah, and playing on very hard, like, friendly fire is the same damage
as
normal.
I think it is the same damage as normal.
So
yeah,
so it's easy rough. To kill friends, yeah.
Did no voice acting make it feel natural? No, but I do like that they take... You guys know the JRPGs where you hit a button, mostly Nintendo, and they'll be like, wah, 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 wah.
They have cool ones in this one.
Yeah, they did something cool. You can almost hear somebody talking, but it's submerged. It's like they post-processed it to sound like it's under 1,000 feet of water, and it makes it scary or tense.
Yeah, it plays well with the atmosphere.
And you're what the fuck? Yeah, it's... Yeah. And then they have a narrator who does speak. The narrator does speak a lot. He, like, updates the chapter, and he'll be like,
at least it's not like the one where they just say the first word of the sentence.
No,
that one triggers me.
And
dude.
Unlike Disco Elysium, which loved its long diatribes, and I liked it too, but it was thick like a tome. You know, sometimes you're like, this game is very short. They know what they're doing. So it's like, if you do get some reading, it's pretty, even the quests are pretty damn quick and they're blurby. So you don't have to go. Okay.
Yeah. Some very interesting philosophical questions
there
you
are.
Get asked as well. And
dude, haven't played the second character. Wait.
Not yet, no. Dude, I don't know if I should, like, keep doing a lot, because I'm just exploring, I'm doing stuff. I don't know if I should progress the story and get to the second character, or if I should just do my thing.
There's
and
a lot
going.
Of characters in that game. You probably want to.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. So if you lose a character, right? Like, if they die...
Posses can die, but your main character, if they die...
Your main character, you just reload.
Oh, yeah. Got it. Okay. Right, okay. So if you lose a posse, like a member of your party that you hired, you said the skills you unlocked remain?
That's not if they die. When you go to the next journey, which is another character, like a Viking Saga kind of thing, they have... perks from whatever you bought, their same
got
perks.
It.
Not abilities, because they'll have totally different ones that you do need to buy. But their perks are the same.
Elden Ring syndrome, exactly. Yeah, I'm getting so I'm just like exploring and just doing random shit.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. Are you guys getting it? Or not you guys, but are you getting it, Silver?
Yeah, at some point.
Are you waiting for bugs to be fixed, or are you just playing other stuff?
Just playing other stuff. Just other things coming along.
And Johnny, are you gonna get it?
I probably will, actually. There's a lull in games now, so I'll probably get a chance to go back to this one in a week.
I think you'll love it. I honestly do. I think you will. Dude, the first time I got a posse member killed, and I was like, oh, that sucks, and I rode off, and then the next day their brother, like, telegrammed me and was like, he always looked up to you. Could you bury him? And I'm like, oh, fuck. I didn't. He's like 10 miles away. And I, no lie, I was like, I'm trudging back. And I trudged back, found his body, buried it. And then the other one, I got somebody killed, and they're like, you didn't know what the fuck you were doing. If I ever see you, you know, we're going to be enemies. And then a couple turns later, they showed up as a vendetta, like a family vendetta. And that's, you can help a family and still have them hate you because you did something else.
And that actually makes sense as opposed to the nemesis.
Dude, I got in the middle. Oh my God. I wish I could just, I don't want to spoil stuff, but you can get yourself into fucking rabbit. Dude, I got in the middle of like faction wars. Like,
yeah, so
like
did I. Where you now don't know what to, yes, the two farms one is awesome. I think I screwed it up, but I didn't. I did it the way I thought I was, but I did something else.
I didn't think about it. I went and I sniped the fucking leader of the other farm and just bounced. now the family fucking hates me. And then these other dudes like want me to do other stuff. And I'm like, dude, like just leave me alone. I just want to, yeah, it's, I don't know, man. It's, yeah, it's really good.
Reg,
it's,
do you think you'll play that this weekend?
Yes, probably.
And with Control, even though you only played it for a little bit of time, did you also notice it was a little wonky, or were you okay?
I liked it better with mouse and keyboard because I was playing both ways.
Oh, okay.
Controller on the Steam Deck, mouse keyboard on PC, and I think it's much easier to control with mouse and keyboard.
Okay, gotcha. I had heard that as well, that there was something with the control being a little off with the key, which is unusual, I think.
My issue with the controller, at least, is like aiming the direction is no problem. But then on top of that, like you said, you also have to...
The distance. Yeah. That one actually didn't really... Like, I just aimed my crosshair at what I wanted to fire, and it worked well. Sometimes
with the mouse,
in the way.
But I was...
With the mouse. Yeah, with the controller. Yeah,
because
it's
got a certain
bother me.
Speed, right? So, like, even if you're already clicked, you have to wait for the cursor to go, which the guys are moving. Nobody sits still.
Dude,
that's
people
another
flank
thing.
You. People
Dude,
flank
and
you.
They're leaping over boulders, and you're like, Jesus Christ, man. Leave me alone.
Yeah. However, I will mention there are some issues with AI sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, your posse members would sometimes not follow you. They'd stand in weird places. The good thing, though, the best thing they ever did is that When enemies see your posse members, they don't trigger. They don't. It's like they're not there when you're stealth. They wouldn't get alerted. So you don't have to worry about, you know, if you're doing stealth, whether your posse members will ruin that for you or not. So
So I think we've talked that enough. We'll talk about review Divergence in a bit, but I do want to hit up Johnny because he had beat Horizon Zero Dawn. Forbidden West, and. So no spoiler, obviously, but what are your thoughts now that you're done with it? Positive, negatives?
Right. So it obviously builds on the prior, right? So let's say that it's not a different game fundamentally than the prior. However, I like the additions. Bigger perk trees, right? Mm-hmm. You can spec into more stuff. The first one, it felt like you were done with these specking of stuff very early on. And like there was nothing else to do with your levels. Here you know it's much deeper. You can put stuff into different trees.
Yeah.
And there's a much bigger emphasis in using machines to fight alongside you. Like that's pretty cool because all of a sudden you can override these guys and they have like creative ways where they fight. Dude, the first time I saw one of my dudes, I'm not gonna reveal like what exactly, keeping it vague, but they had like explosions, legit, you know, they were fighting with me and they were like wrecking the fuck out of the other dinos. It was very cool. And then when they killed him, I was like, you know, no, you know, my boy. So a lot of cool little things like that. And another one that I'm not gonna spoil, because this for me was one of the most pleasant surprises in the game, is I will just say one of the machines you can mount in the game, and this is part of the story, is fundamentally different in a way that I don't think any other open world game has done it as well, that type of thing. And it looks like, Carrick, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know
about
exactly what you're talking about.
Let's
just stop talking about it because people will guess if we keep talking about it. But
right,
it is fundamentally
that was one
different.
Of those moments like, holy shit, that works and that's dope. And so a lot of positives. For me, the story, a little bit heavy on exposition at times, mm-hmm. where like a few times, dude, it was like, okay, sit back and it's 15 minutes of talking to the,
right,
you know, to the chick and like exposition. And okay, cool sci-fi turns on the story. But for me, the conclusion didn't really do it, right? It's a bit of a, I don't know if you would call it a cliffhanger or a bit unresolved or setting up the next piece of content, whether it's DLC or it didn't feel like closure like the first game did yeah. for me, the ending.
I have a question for you, Johnny.
You felt the first game had resolution? Because
way
the first
more
game...
than this.
Okay.
Because, that's how I mean, it
that,
felt
that,
to
that was
me.
A significant cliffhanger as well with Silence.
Yes. No, that's the problem is this cliffhanger isn't a cliffhanger. It's a bump hanger. It's barely right, there. Okay. It's like you could just put your feet on the ground and let go of the cliff. It's really...
Right.
And that's it.
Johnny, anticlimactic, perhaps, is what you would say. Yeah.
Johnny, did you... So, going from a game like Elden Ring to Horizon, did you play on exploration mode or did you play on like the... God. Okay, was there like... Did you get like... Was there the thing where you get overloaded by like, okay, you got like 8 cauldrons to do. You got like these outposts. You got these things like.
Because you only see them. You only see them when you open the map, or if you're looking at the compass and stuff like that, right? And for the most part, I was just looking at the world and the marker. So I know Silver, you know, would complain about this because yes, you do have the most of the time, not all the time, but you know. Whether it's like a marker on screen or in your compass, it is there. But I would say it's okay. It's not really exploration in the sense like they give you clues and you have to find, you know, the place, navigating and using the landscape. It is very much like go there. But I would say the HUD is more minimal than a lot of these open world games, which is a...
And you can turn a lot of it off, not all of it, unfortunately, which was really disappointing.
But if you do turn all of it off, is there like... Can you get clued in from the world building or the dialogue?
And the dialogue, most of the time. But there's some where I think it'd be pretty tough.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. A lot of the time, you would just have to open the map and then look.
Yeah. I don't know about you, Johnny, but like... I still think that's one of the most insanely beautiful, engaging worlds I've ever seen in a video
game. Oh, dude. When the Las Vegas location?
It's
when
insane.
That shit comes like, to what? Life?
Jungles. Yeah, you probably shouldn't
have said that. I won't say much more about it because, you know, it's one of those like...
But can you gamble? I love gambling in games. Like I don't do it in real life, so I just do it in games.
No, it's not like that.
Oh, but that's the thing that crushed me in Tiny Tina. There's no fucking... there's no gamble.
Well,
what
I thought you would
machines?
Be able to roll dice, like, you know.
Yeah, you don't even roll
for strength. Something like that. Yeah.
You know, like, oh, if you have enough strength, you can break that wall or something like that.
Yeah, I think with Horizon, I don't know about you, but I certainly feel like I'm okay with the story because it did do its thing. I certainly feel the end was like, whew. But I think most games are, whew, for the most part, probably because I just don't get that invested. But I just think exploring through that world was well worth it because like even with Elden Ring at the end of Elden Ring, I'm like, all right, you know, in fact, I would say Elden Ring's story is sort of podunk. Like it's not really necessarily.
It's very much a Souls.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you have these different things, but that game certainly does love its exposition. You're right. There's some certain times where you're like, man,
I heard the dialogue was way too much. There's a lot of dialogue.
Yeah, it's not always. It's just some cutscenes are. And the starting is a little... It's not prologue from Red Dead, but it is certainly dragalific.
It's a bit slow to start. Yeah, it's true.
And the opening area is huge. And so I did what I do in Horizon games. I'm like, oh, let's walk around. And it took me 10 hours to leave into the main game. And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I thought I was
game. Dude, I'm going to sound like an elitist, but I'm loving recently just Elden Ring and Weird West just dropping me in a world and letting me do my thing. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm used to that now. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. They have the best video game poker in Wild West, too. You don't have to commit hours. Yeah, it's true. The poker game in Weird West is funny.
Would you
what?
Say
what there's poker in Weird West?
Not in the way you think. Oh, it's a simplified, but it's funny. It's funny. What were you saying, Johnny?
Well, I was curious because for me, this is now probably my benchmark for like how good a game can look in this sort of, I guess, photorealistic style, if you would say that. Like for you, do you agree or would there be another contender in terms? Yeah.
No, Forbidden West is ridiculously
right?
good looking. Yeah. It's not only that, it's that it's interesting looking. It's not just high graphics and some shine here and there, and especially performance mode is pretty shimmery. It's the actual world makeup is ridiculous.
The art design.
The art and waves on the beach. I'm just like, what is happening? I mean, it just, that game right up until the end and some other stuff that happens, I was just like, there's never a goddamn like let up in some new place. And there's never a let up, which I think some people may find too it's going to sound weird. I'm not saying it's too good because that's a dumb thing to say, but I do feel that sometimes you need you don't need a bad looking place, but a barren place. And even the desert looks amazing. Like you go to the
desert,
they
made
and you're
it interesting.
This is fucking awesome. Yeah. So it's definitely
they made
a weird
it interesting.
Game that way.
And I'll tell you one last thing. The day night cycle plays a big role in this because locations, including the desert, there's this duality.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
To them, they look very different at night in an interesting way than during the day, especially the Vegas location that we were talking about, you know.
Reg, cool. Did you beat that? No, you didn't, because you were playing Lost Ark. Do you think you'll return to Forbidden West?
It's not really
really not you're it's just no pull at all to return to that.
Not much. No.
Okay. Silver,
like I love the graphics for sure. It looks super impressive, but gameplay wise, it didn't grab me.
I definitely can see that happening. Silver, you own it, right? Did you beat it?
No, I don't.
No,
I don't own a PlayStation 5.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Okay, gotcha. Well, wait a minute. Still, that's also on PlayStation 4, though.
It is. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, but I'm gonna hold
wanna,
off until wanna I
see
get
it
a
at its best.
PlayStation 5.
Kind of, okay, I gotcha. That makes total sense. Moving on from there, let's hit Reg. Let's talk about the Steam Deck, because you and I talked about this prior to the podcast. You had some interesting things. So he's got Steam Deck, guys. He's had it for a while. He's done one impressions, but we're going to talk about some other stuff plus lengthy impressions. So go ahead, Reg.
Right. So today I tried to experiment putting Windows onto it just because I wanted to know. All the guides say that you can't really dual boot currently. Also, the official information says you can't, but you definitely can. It's just a bit more involved in getting there. Like, you have to manually repartition and stuff, so it's not user-friendly at all.
Gotcha.
Right now to get more than one system running. So I partitioned that. I put Windows 11 onto it first, which booted, which the guide also said it wouldn't, but it does boot. But it constantly froze afterwards. So I canceled that plan and then went with Windows 10, which sort of works, but there's still no audio drivers. So every kind of driver is there, but no audio drivers. So you can't use the headphone jack or the speakers in the thing. If you want audio, you have to either use Bluetooth or your own audio USB dongle that then outputs audio. And the one game, big surprise, Lost Ark, that I tried to run would only work in windowed mode. No matter what I set in the game settings, it's always stayed in windowed. No borderless, no full screen. Right. So I canceled that plan and repartitioned again and went back to Linux only for now. I'll revisit this when it's a bit more matured.
Yeah.
And hopefully it will get there. Apart from that, I've been messing around a lot, mostly with emulators. There's pretty solid setups already. New projects that people created for the Steam Deck, which completely integrates all the games into the Steam UI. So you just point it at the emulators, at your files, and you say go, and it puts it all into your Steam UI, and you can boot it directly from the regular desktop, and it's pre-configured to have all the same shortcuts to start the games, to end the games, whatever. It's all pre-configured to be full screen for all the emulators, so it's pretty much perfect. With the only thing that's not working right now, I don't know who can fix that, is a standby. So if you're in one of those games and go to standby and then continue the game, the controls don't work and you have no audio. So the game is still running, but you can't interact with it. You can't hear it. It's just detached. But apart from that, everything up to what did I try? Yeah, well, Switch is the highest I think I really tried. PS3 yeah. game, I supposedly work some of them, but I haven't gotten one to run yet.
And we talked about build-wise, you're pretty happy with it?
Yeah, yeah. The only thing that I don't like, and well, I already said, and it's still the same, is the fan whine that I have, which apparently is a build variation, because Toast from the Discord channel, he got his in the first week, like he was in the super first batch. And he says he doesn't have that issue. So that sucks. I think there's some variation.
So he has loud fans, but you have a whine.
Yes.
On top of the fan.
I would be okay with the fan noise itself, like if it was the regular like rushing sound of air. But on top of that, there's a really unpleasant
noise. Can you RMA it? Or?
Well, I might, but I'm not want to
yeah.
send
yeah.
it away for
welcome how many to last place in line, Reg.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh man. Well, I mean, it sounds like most people are liking them. I've only played mine a tiny bit, and I really have not engaged. I need to. I've been playing games.
I mean, I keep being positively surprised by how many games run. I mean, I've been using Linux for work for years, but my impression still was that on the game side, it's still kind of eh.
Right.
But most games work. Also, the games that Steam just has not verified at all usually work. Just the ones that explicitly say they won't work really won't work.
Okay. Gotcha.
The other pretty well, and most of them you can get to run with at least 30, sometimes 60 FPS, but don't expect 60 to be the norm.
What are you thinking of the screen itself? Bright enough? Big enough?
For me, sure, because I like my screen stark anyway.
Oh, true. Right. True.
So I have zero issues with that. Screen looks good, and I think it's playing, for example, Switch games on it. Overall, via the emulator, the games look better than on the Switch itself.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, as well as that does, we'll have to see if like this causes Nintendo to come out of their 5-year plan, right? Because didn't they say they were halfway through? Yeah,
half
right.
cycle.
Yeah. Right.
Hey,
go ahead.
What did you guys think about the comfort? In terms of buttons, like
yeah, that's a bit more mixed. Weight.
Yeah, that's more mixed
for
me too.
That depends on which buttons you're trying to reach. For example, the back buttons back here, I have no use for them at all because they're positioned in a way where I really can't press them.
Right. Do they still have the Steam controller weird touchpad / cursor thing in that one? Or
on top of that, yeah. So
do you have to use that
touchpad?
Oh, okay. So is it just for like using a mouse? Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Is it touchscreen?
Yes, it is all touchscreen.
Okay.
Which is probably the better of the parts.
I don't think it's multi-touch. It's like only single touch.
So you can't like zoom in and stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And yours was the middle or the high level?
No, the highest. I got the 512 version and the 1 terabyte micro SD in it.
Yeah, and put that in there. Gotcha. Yeah, so those are the updated thoughts on that. Be interesting to see when more people get it, if the fan whine thing is more prevalent than it is less. I see. I mean, obviously the fans are loud. They are loud. Like, they're loud.
Well, one of the more recent firmware updates at least improved it insofar as if you're in desktop mode and not really doing anything, then it switches off the fan completely. Originally, the firmware I got and I used
stayed on
all the time.
Gotcha. Okay, I'll check that out as well. I mean, in the end, you're paying a premium for something that is a premium, I think, versus the Switch, which you pay pretty much a premium and you're getting something that's a minimum. So here, if you can get it, it's worth it overall. Yeah. I mean, if that's what you're looking for, I don't know how, I don't consider it portable. I consider it handheld. Is different.
It is definitely handheld. It's too chunky to put into anything.
You'd have to pack in your pants or something. Yeah, I mean, you're not throwing. Yeah, and I
also, I mean,
to.
The moment I took it out as packaging with the travel case that it comes with, that thing alone is massive.
It's massive. That's the thing, is they know it's not portable. It's like,
but it's like Michael Douglas in that old Wall Street movie.
When you watch the 80s, people have the ghetto blasters, which are basically just a tape player with speakers. That's what that Switch is like. It's
like I have no issue with the weight. I think the weight is okay using it, playing with it. But if you don't have a backpack or something with you already, it's not portable.
Pipe off anybody in chat. If you have the Steam Deck, and you have a Switch, what do you think? And if you don't have a Switch but have a Steam Deck, what do you think? And which version do you have, if you do have it? I don't think we're going to get a lot of answers, because it seems
they still have a bit
low
to go on the software side of things.
I was just going to ask if it's like readily available, if there's a shortage.
I'm sure somebody on eBay is scalping one for an
incredible
amount.
The people that have pre-ordered last year, which I think June or something is when the registration had opened, they got pushed back again. And last images I saw was from people, I think, that ordered 3 hours after it had opened. And their current the window is like September, October.
Wow. I ordered it. Well, pre-registered, like 1 month after you. So I'm fucked,
right? Yeah.
I'm not getting that.
There's a chance the International Podcast won't have as many members because we'll die of old age. It'll be like,
bro,
and Johnny. And
I miss the times. I miss the times where you could just buy stuff.
Dude, they don't want it. I mean, this is truly contained by chips, stuff we know about. But you know, once they figured out they could get that FOMO, nothing is purchasable day one. It's just they're always, you know, just dripping it out, man. Just dripping it out.
I think it creates higher demand for sure. Like all the shortage creates much higher demand.
Of course it does. Yeah. Go ahead, Red.
I tried to connect it to the TV as well, which is another thing that will still need some software updates, because it works, sure, but it automatically just sets to 4K output from the Steam Deck, and you can't change the resolution the UI.
Yeah.
So it's 4K, and that's it.
And that means really low FPS on anything you're playing. Yes. If you want to try playing on that.
Oh, yeah.
Let's discuss a little bit about indie games. Silver's got one, and then I want to talk about last week's indie game, because it's won a bunch of, like, not awards, but it's got super high ratings and stuff like that, and I want to see if he continued to play it. So what's your indie game this week, Silver?
It's a little guilty pleasure called Heaven Dust. It's sort of an isometric homage to Resident Evil survival horror games.
Nice.
Only it's done in sort of a cutesy, almost chibi style for character designs. It's a lot of fun just to play, frankly. Thankfully, they haven't done the tank controls, so you move around a lot more freely than you did in the old Resident Evil games. Aiming is still super slow, though, but they did like make one quality of life change where the longer you stand aiming, your character will like lock on to weak points on like zombies and stuff. So like you lock on to headshots on zombies
and
stuff.
So it's worth it.
So it's worth like standing and aiming until you lock on to like a weak point and then can hit like a critical shot. That feels really, really satisfying in the game. It plays a lot like it has similar appealing functions to old school Resident Evil. It also has some of the same foibles with a similarly restrictive inventory system, like that's like square grid based for items. That you then have to sort of combine in puzzles and stuff, like with Resident Evil. It's just, it plays well. It looks fairly good. Combat feels fun and satisfying. So yeah, it's just it's been a guilty pleasure that I've sort of been enjoying.
Did they lean into like the old Resident Evil style, like nested puzzles and inventory management, or more of the newer Resident Evil? That's cool.
Yeah, it's old Resident Evil.
Nice.
That changes my thoughts on it.
Main difference is rooms are not separated by like loading screens, so it's all like one map.
Gotcha. So it's not that cutscene of you opening a door.
No.
The you Sega Saturn version of
that also makes it a lot more dangerous because zombies are more capable
and
of
they can
like
get into your
chasing after you.
And do you have to burn zombies after you kill them, like the old ones?
Not to my experience yet. No.
Okay.
And how much is it?
It is. Let me just check. Give me a second.
Not prepared.
It is $15.
$15. That's nice. Not bad. How much?
And it's available. It's available on Steam and the Switch, and looks to play really, really well on the Switch. I would say I haven't played it there yet, but
your other game you mentioned last week,
Norco.
I got really high reviews. Man, I was reading some of the reviews after Saturday this last weekend, and I was like, "Holy shit, that thing's got some like indie of the year kind of vibes to it." At least from what I've been seeing.
Yeah, I mean, sadly, I haven't been able to put much more time into it as much as I would like, but I've been very, very impressed. I mean, the things that really stand out with that game are firstly, like the sense of place it evokes with like Norco, Louisiana, with the bayou and everything, and then the characters that inhabit that place. It just feels like real people. It feels like believable people. It feels very connected. Like those are definitely, I feel, the strongest elements that I've encountered in the game so far. And it does bring some interesting sort of mechanics to like confrontations and stuff that remind me a little bit of combat in like Undertale, where it's a bit quick time eventy, but in a way that feels somewhat engaging. So I'm looking forward to diving into it more, but unfortunately I haven't had enough time.
The indie game for this week, what's the name again? We're being asked in chat.
Heaven Dust 2.
Heaven Dust 2, everybody. And that's on Steam. Steam, right?
Steam and the Switch.
And the Switch, yeah. And he said it seems to have played well on a Switch as well, which is always good.
I mean, I've played it on Steam, but I think it feels like a game to me that will play really, really well and pick up and play on a handheld. Switch. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, there's some sweet-ass indie games. I don't know if you guys... I think Reg was teasing about it, too. Maybe even Abzi, but did you guys see me post that one about the dinosaurs, the theme park? Very colorful...
Parkasaurus?
Jurassic Park?
No. Oh. So it's called Parkasaurus, and it's also an indie one, but it's all cartoony, almost voxel kind of shading. Like, it's a different... Almost like... Yeah, I guess I would say
it's
a little
very,
rougher,
very, colorful. Very colorful.
Yeah, but it's got everything Jurassic Park tried to do. Jurassic Park 2, I enjoyed a lot of it, but I don't know, they sort of lose themselves in if you're going to be scared of dinosaurs, if you're going to shoot them, what you're going to do. This game is far more on the cutesy side, but it's got a ton of content, and that game caught me by surprise. There's a bunch of indie games that I've really been looking at that are, and I call them indie. I should actually completely change that and say not the big triple A's that have released. Some of these are probably double A. I'm just calling them indie, which is incorrect because some of them aren't. But yeah,
well, you're seeing a lot of triple A or double A companies making indie games, like indie style games.
That too. Yeah, because it's been phenomenal to see some of the titles come out. It's like we are talking about the big ones a lot, but there's, you know, when it comes to indie titles or those smaller ones.
So many.
Yeah. There's a lot of games, man. It's a good year. Very good year.
Speaking of a good year, I do want to talk about hardware. Somebody remind me. So you guys saw the Intel. Now that first chip of theirs, I believe, is in laptops. From what I understand, I saw some news about that yesterday. Did any of you guys see the performance? What's the performance on that thing?
No, I did not.
I think it's middling, right? Which is fine, by the way. They weren't aiming for 3090 Ti's, which we'll talk about in a second. But it's cool to have a competitor, man. Intel obviously is feeling the crunch because they're not only going to fix their CPUs, they're back in the GPU, or not back in the GPU market, they're in the GPU market, which is going to be very cool to see if their competition helps, because it even AMD and NVIDIA don't really always compete in the same places. Like, super high performance you want in NVIDIA, you know. That's another thing, guys. Did you guys see, like, the 3090 Ti looks to take a ton of watts? That's going to make... the 4090 going to be? Like, what's that going to require?
Well, it's on power supply.
That's what I read, right?
We're back in the 3DFX times. You remember the one with the external power connector?
External power connector, yeah.
I mean, you'll have to. I mean, I can't imagine. Dude, either can I. Like, 3090 needs like 800 or something.
Okay, so they say that. I'm at 800, and you know how they're never truly what they say, or most aren't.
They get surges. You get surges that need more.
I've been fine with mine, but they need a lot. And the 4090 looks to need even more. And it's just like, what are we going to do? Dude, at some point, you can't even plug your computer and your monitors into the same wall unit because you'll blow a breaker. I mean, we are getting to that point. That's not hyperbole. So it'll be very interesting to see exactly how far, you know, they've been banned in California for energy stuff, I'm assuming, Wild Ones. Because there is that energy thing in America where we're like, if it's not energy compliant in these certain ways, you can't sell some particular things. I didn't know. Let's see. What are people saying? 4090, 600 for just the 4090. Man. CZ Productions, we will talk about PS Plus in a second. I just want to talk about hardware. So they're saying it's in the 3070 Ti range. So that's not bad for first,
the Intel thing?
That's what they're saying. Maybe they're wrong.
That's not what I was looking at.
I thought it said 3060. But I don't know the
difference. 1650 is what I'm saying here.
Whoa. Really?
Yeah.
Well, they said they were going low. Name band again. $100 super chat. 4090 is going to be expensive. Well, you threw it $100.
So you threw $100 to
say
that.
So I appreciate it. I'll save your $100, name band again. And when you decide to buy it, I'll refund it back to you. You're right, though. It's going to be they're going to suck so much power. They're going to be so expensive, and now they're requiring additional purchases, which is better power supply, which is weird. Like in the past, we've had moments where you're like, "Oh man, I need to get a bit more USB ports, so I'm going to plug a chip in here, or whatever." And you never worried about power. Now you have to worry. Like you actually have to look at your PC, and it's going to require completely different stuff.
I mean, it's getting to ranges where my whole floor where I'm on
is warm.
has a break. Well, it's warm. So yes, that too. But I meant it has a breaker of 2 kilowatts, and that's it for the whole floor.
Exactly, dude. Like, dude, yeah. It's like you're playing Sim your house where you have to run the electricity lines.
So I'm like, okay, I can turn on the cooking plate. That's a kilowatt.
Turn the ceiling fan off. Yeah. Because I blow breakers with a vacuum. So go ahead.
I was going to say an oven or something that's like 1,000 watts, and that's where we're at today with like power supplies for these big systems.
And if you're playing or rendering, 1,000 watts for the entire time. Like it'd be like cooking a hamburger or cooking something in the microwave for like 3 hours if you're playing games and rendering and all this stuff.
And what's the MSRP for this new for the 3090 Ti? Was it like
well over 1,000? I think
it's 2,000 in the US. And I've seen it, I think, for €2,500 in Europe.
Just hey, man, dude. We need to have what's-his-name come in here and tell us PCs are easy. What was that guy?
Sonar Berserk.
We need to have
him. He will never live it down.
The upside to that is, at that price point, MSRP, it was actually available for that price.
True.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. You finally priced it correct, NVIDIA. Good job. You priced it right out of the realm of most gamers and most people. Like, I don't even know if a company who's buying new chips would look at that and be like, man, let's hold off.
People don't even want it, man.
Let's see. Shameless Place says 3090 Ti is only 11-14% faster. That is true, but it also has much more memory, which I do feel that the current cards with what are we getting 8 or 10 on the current
eight,
ones?
Yeah, it's not enough for native 4K. It's not enough for native 4K. It's future proofing as well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're getting a lot of DLSS. You won't need that much memory, but yeah, I don't think 8 to 10 gigs is enough for native 4K.
I mean,
in
my
a lot
current
of
card has 10 already, so why would I downgrade with the next gen?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Because by the way, I don't know if you guys remember a couple gens ago. There were a couple cards that did come out, and there were different memory configurations, and the faster one was hobbled a great deal. And this is three, four, five generations ago. I don't even know if we were in the same naming convention, but I distinctly remember like being warned, get the slower one because it's not much slower, but it's got like double the memory and you're not going to run into all these other issues. I mean, that's a big problem. We're seeing like, I don't know if you guys saw the big stuff about DirectX API and the direct storage, you know, where they're like, we're going to fix this and that. It's not going to fix those kind of things though. Somebody said, I don't give a shit about 4K. Yeah, well, no, I agree. I mean, 4K is, native 4K isn't really, for most games, if you want to do ultimate settings, isn't feasible. I mean,
and that's where DLSS and other things complement the equation, because all of a sudden you don't need to.
DLSS is a godsend.
So is FSR too, if it looks better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks better. We can, and then of course Intel's got theirs, Microsoft's got theirs, and then we have direct. Again, we have direct storage to.
I just want good HDR on monitors and PC.
But they're expensive.
I want
that
more than 4K.
They're beyond belief. Oh, you mean like 1440p HDR kind of thing?
Yeah, like I'm happy with 1440p. You know, high refresh rate or whatever. I just want HDR. Like it does wonders to games and my monitor sucks at it, and you know, I just want good panels, good monitor panels that have good HDR.
Yeah, monitors are still tough to like to find a good one that has, you know, all the bells and whistles, 4K.
It's like 120. TV was about 3 years ago. TV went through the
it's
same thing.
It's always missing one.
It's always exactly. It's
right?
Either always missing one, or it's super expensive, or both.
Yeah. It's, and the missing is even worse because sometimes you won't even know what they're missing, and then you'll find out that, like, we talked about this last week, but only one port does this.
And you told me that. I didn't know that.
And, dude, that's.
And I was like, why is it laggy? And
yeah,
I was
exactly.
on the side port.
You're on the side port. Yep.
And that's always shit.
By the way, I had the same thing here. I was on the side port on my new one, and I was like, something's up. It doesn't feel right. And I looked, and it's like they said 2.1 and 2.0. I knew those were 2.0s, but there was some other thing it did that made it like leggy. And I switched it over, and I was like, God damn it. You know, I don't know. It's just, it sucks, man. There's so many different competing, you know, even dual port versus like HDMI.
To me, that needs to be
dual link, right?
Like there needs to be parity amongst all the ports. Like if you're offering HDMI ports and they all look the same, they better do the same shit. Or you better tell me very explicitly, hey, bro.
Well, like
Reggie
and I were talking
console.
About, I had the 2080 Ti and it had USB-C out. And now I'm not seeing that on anything. I'm like, dude, that was the gods. That was what people were hoping for. Why is that gone?
Dude, that is one of my two USB-C ports on the PC.
Exactly. Because most will have the, like, or they'll be A and they go across the bus with five other options or five other USB ports. They're sharing shit. It didn't make any sense. It's like the one thing. And somebody I'm sure could tell me why. They're delivering 100 watts, up to 100 watts out of your PC into a monitor. That is a lot. So maybe there was something to do with that where it didn't feel safe. But I did my all my VR helmets went to that port because it was I knew that was the major port. It was on the video card, blah, blah, blah. I never had issues. And then I got the 3080 and doesn't even have it. It's just a shitter. I don't know. Let's see. What do we have here? Ghostwire Tokyo hits 9 gigabytes with ray tracing.
Woo. There you go.
Damn.
9 gigabytes used.
It's a looker. That game's a looker.
At times.
A lot of reflections, like the reflections are way too pronounced. I was streaming it to my girlfriend before, and there was like a lot of puddles, and they produced like very, very, like a lot of reflection to the point where it was unbelievable reflection. You know what I mean? Like just way too much reflection on the stuff above. Yeah.
Yeah, it's too bad, man. I mean, like you guys said, almost nothing we get has everything. Or it's super expensive. Now, NVIDIA's finally got a video card with the right memory, and it's like, okay.
Right, so I was trying to look up the ARC GPU on the site still.
Yes.
There's currently two out, and it's the entry, super entry-level models.
Okay.
So those are the only ones available right now for the laptops. They only have 4 gigabytes VRAM, so they're the weakest ones. The 350M and 370M. And the 370M seems to be about on the level of a 3060.
Okay.
Roundabout.
Oh. Pretty low level right now.
Yeah. And the stronger ones are coming summer.
Okay. All right. We'll have to swing back around and see how that's actually all worked out. Also, speaking of hardware, before we jump into all the other stuff, PSVR 2 did some stuff at this GDC, and it looks to be pretty cool. I mean, it's hard to know exactly what they're, you know, because Sony did not support the PSVR. But it'll be interesting to see what they did. They showed the controllers, talked about the headset vibrating, which I'm still, I don't know about you guys, but that just does not appeal to me at all, having a headset vibrating.
Dude, that's fucking weird, man. Imagine your head vibrating.
Yeah, I just don't know what.
And not the good kind of head, like the...
Yeah, exactly. Not a Hummer, but actually your real head. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just, I like the idea, but then cost. It's got a lot of stuff. It's got a lot of stuff. Yeah. Cost, maybe. We'll see. We'll see if there's going to be some serious sticker shock on that.
If it's another get a second job.
And like, do we know if it requires...
Yeah.
Sorry, Reg. Do we know if it requires the towers or if it's a different system?
No.
That for me is a step forward.
Yeah, it's a step forward in some ways, a step backwards in others. but a step forward in a lot of the tech is a step forward. And Sony knows comfort, I think. I thought the original, well, it did have vagina nose, where it had the two flaps that just rubbed against
the
your nose.
Still, it was, I mean, for the price, it was super comfortable.
Yeah, yeah. And it had a pretty good screen for its price. It wasn't really up to spec. This one is when it comes to its resolution and stuff. We'll have to see. Which probably
means that the price won't be.
Exactly. Because unless they're subsidizing it themselves, somebody's paying for it. Bro.
What are we thinking, guys? $500 for this? For the PSVR kit?
I think they would be stupid to do $500. If it is $500,
because that's
it wouldn't surprise me. I know.
Yeah.
Well,
I think it'd be like
theoretically
$350.
Yeah.
I'm gonna bet on $350, right? To split it, take a loss. Yeah. Because also, how many are gonna be out there? And how many are you gonna sell to people who have a PS5, because even Silver doesn't even have a PS5 yet. So a lot of people I know don't have PS5s yet and want them. So, and Xbox just finally got their
stuff
first
for lack of trying
list to Amazon, got their first like refresh into Amazon, and PS5 is supposedly coming this week or next week, but it's already Friday. And
competing, you know, with the new Quest, right? Which is hugely popular.
Yeah.
And isn't it like $300? What was the price range for that one?
That is not the expensive. Quest. Believe it is.
The Quest is super, super cheap.
Yeah, okay. The Quest is super cheap, well, and also
super cheap by comparison with the other headsets. Let's put it like that.
Got it.
But it also has the setup. Ignoring the Facebook thing for a second, when you get in there, it's done well. The Quest, I got to shout out to them, man. They got voice commands for everything. Everything pops up the way you
makes
want.
Makes it easy. Oh,
dude, it's internally. Just adding a friend is like, bah, 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 bah,
the bang. User experience is
it's a step up. It's like that. Nice. That's one place I will say that they nailed it. Alex from Digital Foundry said console games are already using proprietary upscaling techniques, so 2.1 won't have that much of an impact. I don't know. What?
Proprietary
that doesn't make any sense.
Techniques. Isn't DLSS only NVIDIA?
Well, I think he's talking about FSR, but upscaling has been something for like 3 or 4 gens. We're at a completely different space now. That doesn't make
any
sense.
Yeah, this is AI upscaling.
Yeah, well, FSR doesn't use it, but FSR does use different systems that, as far as I know, if they're not using, like, no games are using like FSR in the way 2.0 is going to roll out. That's what I'm hearing from devs. If that turns out to be untrue, then we'll find out pretty quick. But if that was true, then you would play like Dying Light and use their version of upscaling, which, by the way, sucked donkey balls. Did any of you guys try Dying Light 2? It's the generic version of upscaling, because they actually have your really basic version of upscaling, which is basically pixel doubling and then adjusting some color. It looks terrible compared to FSR.
I didn't try the... I know DLSS worked really well, even on balanced or even performance mode. It didn't look bad.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's definitely... If there was no improvement or barely any improvement, we probably wouldn't be hearing about it, and it certainly seems like console devs that I've talked to are very interested in FSR. So, I mean, maybe they're all wrong. But I see a lot of people who run tech channels just sort of being like, oh, well... You know, this thing's already been done So there's no reason while this new thing is going to fix it. And it's like, I think we've already proven that wrong just with the upscaling, like FSR upscaling and stuff. And we've proven that deadly wrong. Normal upscaling doesn't look as good. Be interesting to see what they do. Unless it's Insomniac, they always figure it out, right? Insomniac always makes a game look fucking 10 times better than everybody else. It's like, you know there's a magic user in there, right? From Hogwarts.
Sometimes it's like, did they buy better software? Like,
what, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they got the premium version of DaVinci Resolve.
Right, it's like everybody else got the like light version with microtransactions, and
that's
they bought
how
the
I feel
Founders
about,
pack.
That's how I feel about id, you know, id Software with Doom and shit.
Oh,
how
when
the
they were
fuck
doing
do
that?
They make it...
Yeah.
They make it run so well that like it's like the opposite of Crysis, where you can actually play it on 4K at 60 FPS.
Right,
it's
yeah,
like one
yeah.
of the only True. Games. Yeah, it's like, what the fuck are they doing that others aren't? Their performance is usually just, you know, 10 out of 10 with those games.
Yeah. I think art design, or at least I hope, is going to become even more... like even more the thing versus just the tech stuff. I'm really tired of people zooming in on a fucking pixel and being like, if you look at the shader, this is drawing a different buffer. And you're just like, oh my God.
Also art direction is more, it matters way more.
It does.
Yeah. Like you look back on like fucking Wind Waker.
Zelda still looks good. Yep. That's the one I was going to mention.
Yep.
Dude, Zelda Wind Waker, crazy.
Timeless,
That is one of the things I tried on the Steam Deck as well, and it's
I mean, not only... I
that's
mean,
awesome.
It could have been released today.
Exactly. Like, that's exactly right. Yeah. What were you going to say, Silver?
Just even, like, the original Thief the Dark Project, like, most game cutscenes from that time have aged terribly.
Yeah, but that one hasn't.
But the cutscenes for the Dark Project, because of how they were shot, are as good today as they were then.
Yeah.
Really.
The only thing you'd have to do is like run a noise filter to clean up some compression artifacts or whatever on there, and they would look. Yeah, dude, it is. It's about that. It's about like figuring out how to make something look timeless. I actually think that's more intelligent. That's why FMV I'm okay with. So like Quantum Break, they did some FMV. They had their TV show. I'm actually okay as long as they have a lot of money to spend because it looks like a movie. But when you get cutscenes where they look dramatically different than the game, that kind of stuff bothers me. Like when you play the game and you're like, it looks pretty good, and then you see the cutscene, everything's perfect, and you're like, guys, come on, just decide.
That was a huge thing in old games. Like even in the last one that did that was like Deus Ex, and the cutscenes, their faces would be like immaculate, and then you'd go to normal, and it's like,
it's awesome to see it. Like Thief Project and all that kind of stuff. Also. Those also benefit from today's techs, like FSR and DLSS, as long as you can figure how to get those running. FSR is obviously going to be easier because DLSS won't just do that. But the idea that you can grab those games and play them, and like if you've ever used TextMod, you know, when you get a new graphics card and you throw Mass Effect in and throw all the 4K textures or whatever, and you start and you're just looking at it going like, holy shit, and it runs amazing because you're also using FSR or whatever, Magpie, all these different things. Very cool to see that. I don't return to a lot of old games because they feel old. I don't know if Zelda Wind Waker feels old. Does its movement and its like?
I played it recently. Mm-hmm. I would say Twilight Princess feels a little bit more archaic than Wind Waker.
Really?
No, Wind Waker doesn't feel that old. I mean, I fucking Twilight Princess is my favorite game, but Wind Waker just feels like it's nothing about it really feels. That archaic, if you're talking about like movement and attacking and dodging.
I think not just from the graphics, but also from the way it plays. It could have been released today.
Yeah.
Wow.
What other games do we think? That's a good topic. What games do we think could have been? And let's not hyperbolize this. Like, not just throw out a random answer. But Wind Waker, I do believe, could be released today. It'd be higher res because of the way it works. It all works out. So we'll say that one. Chat, you can pipe in. Oh, Okami or Okami, the dog one. The problem with the dog one
that
is that
it
has been re-released, and there's it's a little dirty looking, I will admit. But I think that one's a good. Jet Set Radio, good idea. Jet Set Radio could be released. Go ahead, Silver.
That question also sort of raises the entire issue of how, like, for over the past really 7 years, like retro games have sort of become so popular, so that makes it even more sort of possible that those type of games could be made today.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, there's a lot of 8-bit games being released now too.
Hey, yeah, Rez, like 2D Rez side-scrolling platformers and whatnot with pixel art and stuff.
Yeah,
From back in the day, that could also be made today.
Rez, I think I think Rez, as long as the resolution in Rez is piped up, I actually think Rez could be released today. Rez was a little crunchy in its control, even though I loved that game. Did you guys play that one? We're flying forward in the funky colors, the music. Oh, so good. Such a good music game. Rogue Galaxy and Dark Cloud 2 still look good. I will give you Dark Cloud 2, but I'm playing Rogue Galaxy right now, and I'm not 100% sure I can agree with you on that.
Portal 2, sure, but it wasn't that old, right?
Yeah. Half-Life 2 still has some awesome lighting. Go ahead, Silver.
Yeah, Rogue Leader also for the GameCube.
Yeah, if we're talking about just up-resing the Rez, that still would look pretty good. But was that game a bitch to control?
Not yet. On the land sections, yes. The land sections were complete crap.
They were weren't they like weird tanky movement and stuff too? Yeah, I remember them being pretty janky.
But I mean, the space combat was outstanding.
Andy says, what about Prototype? Now, I didn't like the Prototype games. That's a superhero dark one. I don't know if you guys remember, like a chemical version of Spawn.
What happened to those types of games where you just get thrown in a city and just use powers and kill shit? I miss those types of, like, there was the Hulk, there was Prototype, there was like Infamous. Oh yeah, and the Saints Row one.
Agents of Mayhem was not good.
Crackdown also not.
Crackdown 1 was good. Crackdown 3 was not. Crackdown 2 was hit and miss. Because Crackdown 2 had zombies, I believe. Didn't they change the entire way Crackdown worked?
I only played the first one.
You got your superhero, and then you got your 2, which I believe was darker, because I remember playing that being like, this doesn't feel right. And 3 tried to go back. Go ahead.
But arguably, we still got one of those with Spider-Man, even though, I mean, you're not wrecking stuff with Spider-Man. But
yeah.
True. Yeah, yeah.
What other games could go? Oh, I got one. Shadow of War. War. The Star Wars one where you're looking straight down on the ships. The
Rogue Squadron.
No. You're looking straight down on the ships. Imperial. Is it Galaxy at War?
Where Empire at War.
That one was so good.
That released today. Well, again, understanding that it would pipe up the graphics to our current screens and stuff. That game.
Bro, I had the hard disk copy, and it came in the massive,
I remember the planet system of that not being...
Oh, you mean... Yeah. Oh, was that the one where you went down, and you had to do the...
The land
that
battles?
That sucked. Yeah,
the land battles weren't great. Yeah.
They weren't great. games do we do that where we're like, remember blah, 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 and then somebody mentions an entire facet of the game we've all forgotten because nostalgia's that out.
Nostalgia,
But
it was just like, it was awesome because the whole like massive campaign, you do, you know, air battles and go and take over stuff and then do land battles.
But
and shit.
It's funny how even those good parts, like if you look at them, get like a good, you know, critical look, they probably aren't as good as you remember them.
Maybe. Sometimes Empire at War is, because I played Empire at War last year, and War looked current.
Okay, because I've had this with some games where in my head, this was the
real.
Shit.
It looks real.
It looks real. I look at it now, and I'm puking.
Yeah. Oh, somebody just mentioned a game I would say looks terrible now. Assassin's Creed 1. Dude.
Yes.
I don't even know how to describe to you what that looked like on the E3 stage. I was like, holy shit, man, this game looks fucking phenomenal. And
the way I remember it is
not the game. You remember like a remaster 10 times later. That game originally, like if we tried to pipe that and it's like even 2 with its crappy buildings you were riding by and shit just popping up everywhere, they're rough. But
hey, man, 1 is still my favorite Assassin's Creed.
We're talking about FSR2, what your memory does with those images you remember.
FSR2.
From back then.
That's the memory, getting that all the jeggies of the bad experiences are being smoothed out by years.
Yeah.
Where that's what happens with exes. You're like, oh, she wasn't that bad. And you're like, did she try to stab me? Or did she actually do it? If there was ever a game in need of the director's cut treatment, it's MGS5. Okay. Narnia says Doom 3 on OG Xbox. Doom 3 looked sweet as hell. So. I would. Oh, hey, Zach, I agree with you. He says early AC games glow like what the fuck. He's absolutely right. And he doesn't mean to glow up. He means glow, the bloom. Just like Olivia.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's got moon face, and you're like, who's shining a light on you? MDK? No, I think MDKs look pretty rough, dude. I tried MDK one about 2 years ago, and their models are, you know, that flipper.
Hey, what
hand.
About Mad Dog McCree? It was an FMV game.
It was an FMV game.
Daimler,
yeah, right? but it would require some sort of peripheral.
But even if it didn't, you'd have to clean that up, because back then, if you see
the resolution,
they're like FMV eight
game from 5x5 pixels.
Yeah. Or 64 and blown up, and you see the blotches everywhere. And but back then, we were like, they've got real people in our games. I thought Ready to Rumble looked good back then. It did. It did for the Dreamcast. I played that on the emulator a couple times. Pretty rough now. Go ahead, Silver.
The Sid Meier remake of Pirates, I think, like the art style for that is also fairly timeless, and that's a game that could easily be released today.
The first Luigi's Mansion as well. I don't remember it looking terrible.
Oh,
like,
dude! Or no, you just hit like four Donkey Kong, the side ones,
those were good.
Yeah. Those things, if you just turning up the res, those things would be playable today and be consider them probably AAA. I would have to go back and look. But I think Donkey Kong Country was.
I looked at it recently, and it seems like an old game for sure. Like you could look at it and tell it's an old game, but there's not one thing that looks terrible.
Okay,
looks good. Yeah.
How about the full? Oh, you're talking about Donkey Kong Country on the SNES.
On the SNES, it still looks good somehow. It still looks pretty good.
And Dane, I agree with you. He says realistic graphics don't hold up. And I would agree.
Yeah, I think that's the pattern, right?
Yeah,
the
it is. Because Okami, he mentioned, and Okami tried to be cartoonish, but it also had the black lines and sort of the grit, and it doesn't look...
Yeah.
They don't...
But, like, at this day and age, like, we've hit this technological fucking... Like, look at Horizon Forbidden West. Are we gonna, in 10 years, are we gonna look back and say it looks like shit? Like, what else can they do?
Well, that is a good point. FPS they can do, right?
Right.
And they can do hair fixes because her hair is more like a squid.
Yeah, hair is still not quite physics.
Animations are great in that game, but a lot of times they don't match up. Collision detection, bounding off of enemies, going right through the enemy. Those things.
Phasing
into nothing graphically,
through,
right?
Rocks when you climb up and stuff.
And sometimes rocky areas with low textures and they're still jargony looking because they didn't think you'd really climb up to this one spot. That all could be fixed. But I don't know about the world. Like we talked about art. That is an art design or an art style.
When you look
chose,
at, because you were saying AC, when you look at the difference between that and Horizon Forbidden West, the divide, I think, now just going to be much smaller.
There is a lot of pop up in Horizon Forbidden West. A lot.
Yeah. So there are a lot of these little
things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But as a whole,
this is awesome, though. It's awesome that we're at the point to where that's going to be possible. Good.
Yeah. I mean, I've said this before, but like for my part, I've been happy with video graphics sort of
for a while, right?
I don't know, 2013 or 2014. Like, I mean, The Witcher 3 is now 7 years old.
It looks pretty good.
Sort of sobering and still looks quite good to me in its environment. So yeah.
I think it's very cool that we're at the point though, like you said, I had forgot about that. Not only is retro new games good, but so is emulation. And so, like, it's all come to a head. So it's like
especially emulation, if you have powerful enough hardware and go back far enough, let's say PS2, you can set that thing to 8x rendering resolution and you have your remaster. Apart from the UI, where it doesn't work, but for the 3D models and stuff.
Thank you, Virus. Lost Odyssey still holds up. Lost Odyssey is incredible balls. So I would say that game does hold up. I own Lost Odyssey, never getting rid of it. That game is phenomenal. But it's just cool because if you like true old games, you can play those now. If you like new games that look old, those are available. That's why whenever anybody says nothing's out or this year was lean, I'm like, dude, not even, man. There's so much there. Yeah. It's ridiculous how and I'm not even talking about true indie games where we find some gem. I'm saying there's just a lot of this kind of stuff. And that's the best part. There's so many. Abbreviated Reviews, Indio says, I just did that with Spy Hunter. Once I jacked up that resolution and rendering, it looked way better. Spy Hunter. Yep.
Plus, NVIDIA Filters is doing a lot.
Yeah, NVIDIA Filters is very cool. I've used NVIDIA Filters to change the color on a couple games. You know, like Fallout always looked like somebody was peeing on the screen. So did Deus Ex. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can just go into the filter, change it to blue or cut the saturate, cut the yellow out of the screen and boom, you've got it.
Yeah. Cancel it with the other two colors, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
It's also, really,
you have stuff like, for example, this the Switch emulator, has added FSR.
And anti-aliasing.
You can also enable FSR.
In Switch? The emulator for Switch?
In the emulation, yeah.
Yep.
Dude, and that helps because some emulation on some games is still rough because, you know, the developer was using some unique technique. I will say this.
Especially on the Steam Deck, for example, where you're kind of on the limit of emulating that.
So that helps you get some FPS back. It helps a lot,
yeah.
I will say there's three games. No one else is going to agree. We might agree, but I'm saying most chat probably won't agree. I would love to see a remake of Dead Rising 1, 2, and 3 where their control was more robust. Their attacks were more robust. I always think the Dead Rising games are phenomenal. Like what they did when you first saw thousands of zombies on screen.
Yeah.
You were able to put together cars in 3.
And the time limit stressing you the fuck out.
I love the time limit. I know people didn't. I get it.
No, I do. I also.
Yeah, well, I'm saying it was stressful.
Especially because of the way it tied in with characters and how that impacted quests and missions and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's all those kind of things. I really do. I think Dead Rising's probably dead, unfortunately.
Rising.
Dead.
Well, not Rising yet.
Oh, no. Okay, I get the joke. I don't know what I thought you were saying. But yeah, it would be cool to see a remake of those. It'll never happen. And all of the ones I want. Fallout 3 didn't age well because yellow tinting.
Fallout 3 did not age well.
To me, a lot of the charm of Dead Rising was sort of the iffy controls as well.
Which controls? Yeah.
The iffy controls for Dead Rising, like the original Dead Rising. And
oh, did you enjoy that?
Yeah, I mean, they were frustrating in part, but it also, I don't know, there was a certain charm to it, I guess, for me.
I think the charm is you using it as a defensive measure from being unhappy with it. I'm not dissing on you. I'm saying, right. Don't you believe... So when somebody says bugs are cool because they're sometimes funny, I'm like, that's a defensive measure to...
Like, yeah.
To play it off. I think what I'm saying, Silver, is don't you think if it was remade and it had controls that let you interact more easily with the game, you would actually want the shit controls just because?
No, not just because. I think it was partly because it forced me to make up for those shortcomings in other ways. Yeah, and adopt other tactics and stuff, and sort of try and think outside the box for some encounters, because controls wouldn't let me do some stuff that maybe I wanted to do optimally.
I heard that was like when my buddy when Cyberpunk was first coming out or something, and my friend was like, I'm really shit at aiming with a controller, but I want to play it with a controller because I want my character to be bad at shooting. I was like, interesting.
That's some deep meta. I'm only going to play with one hand, so that it's really hard for me to... Silver, back to your thing. If they remade it, and they remade it with better controls, my assumption would be that they would then look just like you did and say, okay, sometimes people had to do something because the controls sucked. Let's balance other things. So that, but that may change the feel of the game. I just don't know if I believe you would like terrible controls in a game that was remade in all other ways.
I think maybe it's also in part because they did sort of evolve through like Dead Rising 3 and 4.
Yeah, they did.
Especially they revamped the escort AI. Which was
they did.
A lot of people were not happy with
the original wasn't even an escort
with the escort system the original. But I actually enjoyed sort of the challenge of that, even as if it was rage inducing at times. I guess in a similar way to like how Dark Souls or From Software games can be rage inducing at times, where the game mechanics do sort of get in the way of your enjoyment, but it still feels like it's sort of part of the process or however you want to put it. It made the escorts actually feel dangerous and risky, and that lent increased pressure to the time limit because you had to get them, you had to get to them in a certain time, and you had to get them back within a certain time frame. And there were, and there was a real sense of danger there. And that sense of danger got increasingly softened as the shortcomings in the AI.
Is it the same thing as, like, I love playing these really old games like Baldur's Gate, and there's like a Divine Divinity and stuff. They had a certain charm. Like, they don't have the quality of life that we have today with games, but that somehow had like this charm to it that I enjoyed, like being frustrated to do a thing that is readily available in today's games. Like,
here's the reason why:
some sort of inventory management. Or...
if you rethink that, though, I'll come at it from another angle. You only know that those things were fun because the controls did suck. What would you think of the game if they hadn't? Maybe you like it even more. And so I get that we might look back at these old games like a Baldur's Gate and go like, I enjoy this challenge, but I'm not 100% sure I believe that that,
no, I get that.
That was great.
Yeah.
I do remember, for example, Space Harrier. And we talk about this all the time. Did you die because of you, or did you die because of the game?
Yeah, yeah.
All I'm saying is the upgrades would, in my envisioning of a remaster, the upgrades would make it that you never had to blame the game. It was you. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Mm.
And I agree with you guys, because I know I'm the one who bitched when State of Decay dropped your random guys being able to die. State of Decay 1 went from one of my favorite games ever to not even wanting to play it because they removed that. They patched it out. So I get where you guys are coming from. It's just, I do remember being frustrated.
I understand.
Yeah. Ghouls and Ghosts on the Genesis, I love, but I hated the controls.
Yeah.
And maybe that was the difficulty, because it was considered a very difficult game. I mean,
Controls had a lot. Same with the old Lion King games and shit, where you just wouldn't latch on. Remember the old Lion King game on the SNES or on the PC and stuff? And sometimes,
oh my god, the Disney platforming. Lion King. I'm sorry.
Yes, the platforming was just very, very difficult, because you just had to do janky shit to be able to latch on to some stuff. Yeah. So a lot of the difficulty, I think, in these old games definitely came from just bad controls. And
maybe some of their good ideas came from them knowing the control wasn't good, which is what Silver was saying, is that when they start fixing shit, it can feel too smooth. It really can. I think I know a lot of people didn't like Dead Rising. I love Dead Rising 4. I mean, I legitimately like that game a lot, but I know some people, they wanted this or that back. I think it did have timers in it, but they were slightly adjusted, or you could turn them off or on. I can't remember. So I get it. Oh, hey, we got the
same with Aladdin. Yeah, it was Aladdin and Hercules.
Or TMNT, the one that no one can beat still on the
beat 'em up.
The original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yeah, the underwater level.
God. Wasn't there a sewer level in that game where like people
were with the underwater
trying to kill each other because they couldn't
do it?
A
Genesis had Jurassic Park was also very hard. Go ahead, sorry.
Michael Ryan brought up one of my favorite games, is sort of a timeless one, which is Mirror's Edge, the original. Mm. I think is another game that could easily be released.
That
today.
Could be nice. Released, and guess what that game's known for though? Good Silver, excellent movement.
Yeah, movement. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and what if it hadn't? No one would know what Mirror's Edge was. Imagine if the control on that was like Dead Rising or something. You'd be like, "Fuck you, man! I'm never playing this." Dude, don't you guys think that Mirror's Edge pretty much made Dying Light? I mean, without Mirror's Edge, would Dying Light
was inspired on that, right?
I mean, not only that, but I mean, the controls, like the using the bumper for the jump button, that's from Mirror's Edge.
There were a lot of there were a lot of parkour games. I remember random parkour games on PS2, and there was a lot, but none of them were ever first person until Dying Light or until Mirror's Edge came out.
Yeah, it's good to remember that some of these games were awesome, probably because of shit graphics or not shit graphics, but shit control. Took four directions, you know, northeast, south, and west. There was no diagonal. They didn't even have a diagonal on there. You're just like, screw the diagonal.
Yeah. Not only that, but like the real games of old, you could only move from left to right. You couldn't even move from right to left.
Holy shit! There are a couple games like that.
The old NES games.
NES or Commodore 64.
Like Super Mario Brothers, you can't move right to left in that game.
That is so weird to think about that. That is so weird. Yeah. Speaking of things getting better, Abzi is doing the update list.
True.
So these are games so that people know what they are. explain it so people know.
These are games that got updates. Yeah, that's pretty much it. So there's Dead Cells. Dead Cells is roguelike. Whoa. Pretty cool roguelike, 2D. Got a free DLC.
Pretty cool.
It's
you an mean amazing.
Fucking, thank you. Fucking it was birthed like to be the one of the best roguelikes ever made in the history of the world. Dead Cells Break the Bank update. And they added a new biome and three enemies, three new weapons, and three new mutations, along with a bunch of quality of life changes and bug fixes. And they have more updates and DLC coming. So it's good to see that game is still being free update, yeah. Free new biome. Free. It's like a bank biome or something, completely optional, completely free. Yeah. Which is really cool because that was like one of the first games or roguelikes I played that cemented roguelike as like one of my favorite genres. Pretty good game. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Forza Horizon 5 got an update, got a bunch of stability and performance improvements, a bunch of quality of life, bug fixes. They retuned dirty air aerodynamic effects. There's a new progression system in multiplayer that involves like badges or something like that. And an event lab update where it lets you in event lab, I think you can make your own tracks and maps and stuff. And it added the option to manipulate gravity. So you can have wacky tracks with low gravity, something if you want.
That could be cool.
That would, you know, maybe in certain areas in the track, it's like low gravity. I don't know.
But it would be what's dirty air? Is that some like fart metaphor?
I guess so. No. I don't know.
It's when you have like a race car, for instance, pressing through like the air, the air currents behind it get unstable, so you can't. It's more difficult to like stay stable immediately behind another race car.
Yeah, so it's cool they retuned that.
Which game?
That's in the game. I didn't know Forza, that was
Forza Horizon 5. Got a new update. Yeah, Scarlet Nexus added a very easy mode. If you want that, and cosmetics from Tales of Arise, because they're both Bandai Namco. So The Ascent got more bug fixes, much needed, because that game is great, but it had a lot of bugs. And everyone's favorite game, The Avengers, got a new mission chain to guide players more easily by... They abandoned old mission. They literally deleted like 10 missions and added a new mission chain to easily guide players through it. So, you know, I don't think anyone's playing that game. But
is it that they deleted the old ones or that they incorporated them into?
I think they incorporated it, but they must have deleted some sort of content or some sort of
right. Okay.
Because they were like 10 missions condensed into like one mission.
Or did they vault it?
They vaulted and sunsetted the...
I thought we were going to talk about what happened yesterday, which is that they've introduced a new bug with this patch, and the only way to fix it, delete your progress.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They called it the Avengers fix for the Avengers. They were like, only the Avengers can make a patch worse than the Avengers when it starts out, and they did.
Yeah. Nice.
Avengers should be updated so it gets deleted from your system. Funny.
And, of course, the best game to have ever graced this earth, a classic, you might call it, a trendsetter, a game that gave birth to a new genre, the best game in the world. What the fuck was it called? Death Stranding.
He didn't even know what it was called. That's how much we know he's playing.
got a thing. Well, it got the director's cut came out on PC yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Yeah. And just so everybody knows, Weird West is overselling it.
Yes, Weird West is
actually available.
Is it upgrade for $10 for Death Stranding? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's not bad. Yeah.
Wait, so Weird West is overselling it?
Yeah, and it's even Weird West is number two. Mm-hmm. Number two on Steam.
Holy shit.
It was last time I checked.
Number three now, I believe.
Number three now. Yeah. Who went above it?
They haven't.
Yeah.
Who went above it? Do you know?
Lego Star Wars.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So yeah. I do know that they internally were like, they're very happy.
Yeah. Dude, they haven't even like really advertised it coming.
No,
we
talked about this
much.
A couple weeks ago, right? Yeah, they haven't. Yeah. I mean, they. In fact, the joke yesterday was, is it on Game Pass? Because no one knew.
I didn't. Dude, I kept forgetting that was coming on Game Pass. like 10 times. You know?
It's not only, it's got very high reviews, which I don't usually care about Steam. It's got very high reviews, and the guy posted that it was outselling everything but Elden Ring, which is hard. And then Lego makes sense because Lego's coming out here in just a couple days, Monday or Tuesday.
That's one I'm excited
for. I'm excited for that because that has full co-op, doesn't it? Like
most it's got full Lego. Everything. I can't talk about it. But I think when you look at Lego games, it's easy to bitch. It's easy for people who are like, I'm too cool, motherfuckers, to talk about a Lego game. But I got to tell you, as somebody who isn't like that, the Lego games have always impressed me. Many of them have. I think Town is one of the best ones, or Lego City is one of the best games. That game is legit.
And not bound by an IP.
Bound by an IP, exactly. But this one, I think being bound to all Star Wars is probably going to be a huge hit. And all the stuff you can do. I think it's sort of a dream come true.
Is it just all the Star Wars movies? Dave. You just go through all the movies from one to the end?
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I'm not going to talk about it. But look it up if you want to know that stuff, because I'm not really supposed to talk about
it. They're selling it as the Skywalker saga, right? So you're supposed to... This is the selling point. I don't know how true it is. You're supposed to kind of traverse the full kind of storyline.
So you play Anakin as a baby? Like...
you baby have to Anakin. Navigate the womb on the way out? Well, oh no, I'm wondering... My feet are down. I got to flip myself slowly so my head goes out first. What were you saying, Johnny?
Well, what I'm wondering is like for the co-op, because this is not Batman and Robin, which it's clear who the co-op partner is going to be
Batman.
Sometimes, like if you're navigating Leia... In the like, who's the other person playing? You know, so it will be interesting to see how they handle co-op in.
I think it's as evident as the others. Like you make like for episode Phantom Menace, you make it Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, whatever.
Yeah, but sometimes it's just the one character in the scene. You know, like I was saying, like Leia.
I think you're dramatically overthinking it. Johnny, I get it, you're big-headed to the point to where like it's literally
someone
on another planet. Star Wars, it's Lego Star Wars, dude.
You can play whoever.
Yeah, it's like the scene with Obi-Wan versus Anakin.
Imagine
like,
Johnny watching some kids play Lego in a sandbox and be like, technically, it's Leo like, was only
yes,
in that.
But how does this connect to the lore?
It's not Mos Eisley's technically didn't have the places you know facing north because of the sun.
Those two can never meet. They were never alive at the same time.
Yeah. Way overthinking that one.
I wouldn't be surprised if you could play Qui-Gon in episode 3. Like,
don't be surprised. $6.99. Do you think Lego Star Wars is a sleeper game of the year?
What?
Is the sleeper game of the year? No, there's so many sleeper games this year, right? I mean, there's a lot of games people haven't even...
I mean,
you know,
Weird West is a good... It totally caught me...
off guard. Really? Yeah,
off guard.
What'd you say?
And as we talked about, a lot of people are talking about Norco as well.
And a lot of people are talking about Norco. Yeah, these are titles that, like, even Ghostwire, even though I didn't like it, I'm not saying it's a sleeper hit because it doesn't look like it sold well at all, but there's just a lot of stuff that is out and coming out. I mean, it's good. It's a good time to be alive, man.
In addition to the Lego thing, it's not online co-op, so... If anyone is
it's just local.
Hoping for that.
So it's split screen, is it?
Yeah.
It's Parsec co-op.
Either Parsec or Steam Remote, right?
Exactly. So that works, but just to make sure that nobody's getting the wrong idea, it's not co-op.
It is weird when you look at co-op games now when like companies are doing that because it's like split screen. So they must know Lego's looking at this saying families. Like...
It's like I wanted to play Unravel 2 with a friend because it looked like a neat co-op puzzle game, but I couldn't.
With Lego, I don't consider it to be a technical issue because they've had online ones before, and it's not requiring heavy leg, interpreting heavy
apparently
leg.
Apparently, they said like not enough people really use the online play.
Probably,
Well, yeah, because you introduce a lot of issues when you get an online aspect in there. It's like a whole facet.
You mean
of
like GT7 being barely?
And you also have to maintain servers.
Yeah, maintaining servers. Yeah. Like, there's a lot that goes into it.
I think PvP's good enough now, though. Peer-to-peer, sorry, is good enough now that if you want to play a Lego game...
For like, something like that.
For something like that, I think it should be fine. But Omar says, those sunglasses, bro. You like your sunglasses. Yeah, so any other games got updates that I missed that were incredible?
Babylon.
Babylon. All right, so nothing huge. Nothing. Somebody's asking us if we are now going to talk about the PS Plus stuff. We sure can. So, Reg, do you have this written anywhere? Not written.
No,
do you have a website of this?
I don't have it open.
I can bring it up. I was looking at it earlier.
So,
all tiers. Let's see. There it is.
Oh, you got it? Okay.
Yep.
Fuck me then, huh?
PS Plus Essential, Extra, and Premium are the three tiers now. With Essential being, well, the same that we have with PS Plus now. Mm-hmm. And Premium, the highest one, being a combination of PS Now and PS Plus. And the Extra is some hybrid in between. The costs of it are, for the lowest tier, still $60 a year or $10 a month for the Essential, or for the highest tier, $120 a year or $18 a month, which is also exactly the same cost that PlayStation Now and PlayStation Plus currently was, because both of them individually were $60 a year. So you're saving nothing. It's just one title now,
one title,
instead of two subscriptions. Ooh. And in the middle one, the PlayStation Extra, costs $100 a year or $15 a month, and doesn't offer streaming, I believe. That's only the highest one, and fewer games.
So, and there's different games you get. Like the premium one gives you PS2, PSP games, while the Extra only gives you PS4 and PS5 games. Yeah.
Do we know the list of games?
It just says 400 of the most enjoyable.
400 in the extra games in the extra one, and then another 340 for the premium tier. The only say. Yeah.
It's worth noting that if you've been playing on PC, like just doing PS Now on PC, it's gotten nearly twice as expensive because you now have to do the premium one, which has the PS Plus thing rolled into it. You can't just go with the PS Now subscription now, which was $9.99 or whatever it was.
I had not thought about that part. That is very true.
So it became more expensive potentially to be a PC gamer.
Yeah.
So is it still going to be rolling out on PC? Like, can you, or is it just the streaming aspect?
Yes, the premium one you can access on PC the games as well.
And I think
streaming
they...
exactly the same as
only
now,
streaming
but
though.
But you're basically forced to get PS Plus.
You're forced
now.
To get Plus.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah. It's more expensive. But it's only streaming, though. You can't download the games on PC.
Well, it's not on PC, no.
Yeah, no. Okay.
And they did say that they were going to honor the current subscriptions for some amount of time. I think the price only goes up once your subscription runs out or something. So if you have a current subscription, I don't think that one just goes away and you have to instantly pay double. I don't think. I don't know. Maybe you do. As you can tell by my face, I was not excited about that announcement at all. That was not what I thought. Yeah. I'm not even talking about the exclusives, which is a whole other bag of biscuits. But this shit about, here's 300 games. What 300? What?
Yeah.
I don't even...
No list.
Yeah, I think the assumption was that one list that you currently can play now is one of those two lists they're talking about. The 400.
It is.
Yeah. So...
Because I think PS Now has 450 games or
so
something.
So there we go. So that's the 400 number. That. Yeah. I don't know, man. It just seems like I thought they were thinking things through, I guess. And I thought there was going to be this really, I don't know what I thought. I guess I just was assuming there was going to be a thought out process to here's how we offer this and that, blah, blah, blah. And then it did. It's not.
It feels like this doesn't even, try to compete with something like Game Pass or even Ubisoft or EA as subscription services. It's more, to me, it's kind of similar to the Switch thing. Remember that new membership they
added? Well, somebody mentioned that they instead of being Xbox Live, they went to Nintendo Online.
And you get the retro games. Which, by the way, I mean, there is one, Crisis Core, that one, like, Final Fantasy game on the PSP, like, that I didn't get to play. I'd like to play that, so, you know, maybe I'll pick up 1 month of that. But again, we don't have the list of games, so I don't know, right?
Plus, all this tier shit, like, I don't know about
really
you.
Really confusing.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, people are going to buy the most expensive one. I don't know, like, I just like how Game Pass is like, okay, you pay one thing monthly. Okay, you can get an extra like Xbox Gold if you have the Live. If you don't have an Xbox and you're just playing on PC, you just get the fucking Game Pass. Boom, there's all our games, you know? It's just simpler, and it's just not asking for a lot. It's not... I don't know about these tiered systems. It just, you know...
Well, Xbox has the Ultimate and then the...
Like, yeah, but that usually means you're getting Xbox Gold with it, right? That's
all that means, Johnny, is you're still getting the basic, I believe. So you only have two on Xbox, don't you?
Yeah, you have Game Pass, and then you have the one that comes with
Xbox
Gold. Don't
you still have like Game Pass versus Game Pass PC, and Ultimate gets you both?
Yeah, if you want it on PC,
Game
you have to get
PC
the Ultimate.
Is separate, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, for me, for PC, I'm just paying for Game Pass, so I'm not paying for Ultimate because
yeah,
Ultimate
and I guess that's
a
platform
Live.
Versus games thing, which is what's bothering me.
Yeah, you're not getting any less games or more games, right?
I gotcha. That's fair.
Yeah, so, like, it's still a tier, though. That's a good point. But this is just confusing. I mean, I just saw it, and it's, like, without any data, and then their thing about, like, our first...
Also, yeah, I just tried to look up how many titles PS Now has. The best I could find is PS Now has currently a library of over 700 titles. So there's basically your whole
library. So they're
library
splitting
they're saying,
it in a way.
Yeah.
So once that's another thing that's even worse. So it's like they're splitting it. What games are going to be in the 400? What are going to be in the 3? Yeah, whatever.
And I don't think are they even doing day one like Sony games?
No.
Because that's their highest selling point is their exclusive.
No, but that was
they already said explicitly no to that.
Yeah.
And they said not only that, he said we weren't thinking about that, and with this current setup, we are not thinking about that in the future. He was pretty clear on that, which, I mean, I get it, but whatever.
They're just making a way for people to pay a subscription for games that weren't going to get sold anyways.
It sort of feels like that. It sort of feels like it's like, let's offer a subscription, and then when you really look at it, you're like, well, this really isn't anything.
What about less recent games, like... I was going to say Fraternal. Returnal.
The Returnal is on one of them.
Returnal's already on one of them, yeah. It's not connected to this. What's up, Poth? 449 Super Chat. Sony shouldn't have entered the MS Battleground. It lost the fight before it began for Sony, even if MS raises the price. Game Pass still is an MS win. Yeah, for this particular thing, it is definitely in subscription services, definitely not something that... is super enticing.
So the only games they listed was for the extra and the premium tier, so the middle one and the highest one, were Death Stranding, God of War, Marvel's Spider-Man, Miles Morales,
those are good.
Mortal Kombat 11, and Returnal. That's the only named games they put in their release.
I mean, the best aspect of the announcement is that they didn't actually call it Spartacus.
Yeah, exactly.
True. True, that's true that, yeah. I mean, the only reason I wanted to play on PS Now, at least on PC, is because there's some games that I just can't play right now. I guess you can argue emulators, but like the old Metal Gear Solid games and the old God of Wars and stuff, but the input lag was just too atrocious. So I don't know if they're addressing the streaming stuff, because the streaming just did not feel
good. They did not say a word about changing the way they're doing streaming. I don't think this has
any
network.
Also, PS Now is still limited. Last time I checked, at least to 720p. That's the highest resolution it has.
Bro.
Wow.
So you're supposed to play that on PC?
Yeah.
720?
Hey, admittedly, the streaming for the Xbox can be spotty too.
That is true.
Yeah, I wasn't meaning in the... I don't think you were.
I was literally just adding that it's better. I think it's better on Xbox, but it's been spotty
before. All of the streaming services will vary greatly from where you are versus their servers.
Yeah. I mean,
the input lag was way too much for me. Yeah.
Hey, if somebody wants to do these deals, there's nothing negative about them really overall, but there's nothing also super positive about them. It was...
Not really.
It's certainly not aimed... at a Game Pass subscription. I guess that's sort of what I was thinking they might do.
No, it's aimed at their own.
It's aimed at their own audience. Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's not aimed to get new
their own user
people
base.
Or anything. Yeah, yeah it's yeah, just sort
kind of
like
repackaging.
There we go. Yeah, that's what I was going to
yeah.
say.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Like if you're already playing, like have PS Plus, you know.
Just... Yeah, if you're already in the ecosystem, like the PlayStation ecosystem. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, how much is PS Plus usually every month? Is it like $10? So you pay an extra $10 and get the premium?
True. I do want to point something out, though, Abs. Oh, go ahead.
Pay another $8 if you go monthly.
Here's the thing, though. That is what I was just going to point out. It's a very good savings if you pay yearly. If you were already paying.
Yeah.
So, well, if you weren't streaming on PC, which would be double. Most people are doing yearly.
Yeah,
I would assume so with them. Xbox doesn't make sense to go yearly because there's always deals somewhere. There's always some.
Yeah,
that's the thing with Xbox. Like, my stuff runs out, and then I pay another dollar to top it.
You know? Yeah, sometimes I feel bad, like I'm cheating or like I've.
I mean, hey, they're offering it, dude.
Like I've logged into some back door.
I mean, dude, Phil knows. People tweet about it all the time. It's not like he's fucking blind.
Yeah, they're not blind. Like Phil is very in touch with like the consumers. I feel like
he is. So I think
and
he's
it's,
also
it's not the, just him, it's the team.
Not only that, but they just announced that other thing where they were talking about their earnings, and they were like, Game Pass has, I mean, they were talking about like the huge percentage of people buying games that they never expect. Just now they released it again where they were like, it's completely changed the way Microsoft looks at their stuff because people were buying more games with Game Pass than they
that's
ever assumed. So it's just like, okay, whatever.
Mystifying piece.
Well, not really, because what did Reg just said? He bought a game on Steam, even though it's on Game Pass. Right? Isn't that what you just said?
Yeah. Even for the smaller games, like smaller devs, people love to support them. Like, they try a game out on Game Pass. I even did that with Ascent. I played it on Game Pass for a bit. Then I was like, okay, I'm just going to buy it on Steam now. Like, there's a lot of...
I think
like,
I was ignoring a point that Johnny was going to say, though. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, in Reg's case, it's because he has the Steam Deck, so he wants to play it there. That's fair. I was trying to think, what is the normal case, right? Because this is happening so much for them. Like, what is the use case for someone buying the game in spite of it being on Game Pass? Is it because they just want to contribute to the devs? Or is it because, you know, DLC comes out and on Game Pass they only have the base game?
Well, a lot of people also care.
Talking to some other people, I got the impression that a lot of them is just removing the felt pressure of the game
of it being temporary
from the service.
Yeah, there's also a lot of people care about like racking up those hours on Steam and their achievements and all that shit. So they want it all in that one place. So a lot of people do that too.
Yeah, I would agree. Andy Martinez, $9 super chat, $9.99. I think Sony will do yearly releases for the first party instead of day one. If Returnal's coming out a year later, sort of like a cool down period, or release smaller first games on day one. They did state no first games, no first party. I don't even think their second party games are going to be on there. They did say third party
no day one
games will be
anything,
in the system. But yeah, I don't think they were even hinting that. From what I could tell from Jim, I don't think third-party games are even hitting day one. Some will, but I don't think it'll be like Microsoft where they're getting... I mean, it could be because they've got one so far, which was Shadow Warrior, which admittedly wasn't...
I mean, yeah, sometimes Sony does. Even on PS Plus, they
exactly.
got
they've done it in
day
the
one.
Past.
So it does happen, but it's not the norm.
I mean, I do want to move on from this, but overall, it is... You now can get a subscription. That's different. There's not a lot.
I mean, I will just say it. It's pretty much what I expected. It's
right. Yeah.
It's what I expected, but not what I hoped. Right.
True.
I don't know if I even expected that. I think I did expect. So
okay. My expectation was that they would offer an even more expensive tier than they do.
Right. Right. Do you know what it is though? It's like when every time a shitty football team gets the new quarterback, and people are like, "Now they'll make it." Now they're going to go to the Super Bowl. I'm always expecting Sony to be like, oh, now we get it. And Nintendo has shown that you don't have to ever get it. And so Sony is like...
Everyone is starting to buy into this like subscription services instead of buying one thing. You know what I mean? Everyone's starting to... Even fucking GTA. And people just forget about the subscription stuff and they just keep paying monthly.
Fallout 76 has
stuff.
A subscription.
Yeah, like...
Oh, that's still around, huh?
Yeah. Ty Timmons, $20 super chat.
That's like an MMO subscription type thing, right?
private servers and stuff.
I do want to shout this out, and I do want to say Super Chats help the channel keep going, so I definitely appreciate it because we don't run any ads or anything like that. He says, at some point, the pricing model for all these online play fees for console players need to be looked at more closely. I'm sick of all the extra BS hiking up the price for things I don't want or use. I think what you're asking for is like a buffet system. But that's pretty confusing because in a weird way, Sony just did that, and it's pretty confusing what you're even getting. They needed to be open on what games you're getting. That's what they should have done. Here's 400. Check this website. Here's your 400. Here's your 300. And just be done with it instead. Because people got on Microsoft for the same thing. Like, when they first started, it was like, well, what games are getting that FPS boost? Remember that? It's like, and they were pretty hedgy about which games were going to get FPS boost, where people were, admittedly, that one seemed more of a realistic thing to not have data on. But moving on from there, reviews being divergent, and then we're going to get to the questions. So I keep pretty much every single review, I just want to point this out, every single review, I always get a post that states, man, I just looked, reviews are really divergent. I don't know if everybody's renting the old TV or the old movie Divergent or what, but it's not. If you track these, many people hated Death Stranding, even though it got really good reviews. Many people loved a shitty game. I saw people giving Alekhine's Gun a 10 out of 10. I don't know what's happening, but they did. I do get what people are saying, that like as the medium score goes up, those low ones appear like really low. But one of the things I want to point out that no one's pointing out is that a lot of these companies are only using 3 to 4 of their digit scores anyway, and that terrible games aren't getting a 1. That's just the way it is. Terrible games are not getting a 1. And I get shit on when I say don't get a game, because that game has to be bad for me to do that, because I am using the full scale. And that's not even me saying better. I'm just saying that's what they do. They're currently, you just won't see a lot of 4s. It just won't happen. It's usually 5 is terrible, and then they go from there. Sometimes 6 is terrible for some of these websites. And then the different people review, by the way. That's another thing. So different people are reviewing for some of these big websites. So that's why at times I think scores can feel weird. But guys, you should probably, I mean, it's not as divergent as you think. It's not. I mean, there's games that I hate and I have pretty good reasons for hating them. I try to add context. By the way, thank you to everybody who noticed that I was adding a ton of examples in this review. So I'm going to continue to try to do that. But it's not as divergent as you think, man. I mean, dude, some people hated Breath of the Wild. Didn't Jim Sterling hate that?
Well, he gave it a 7 out of 10. So,
and he got shit for it. That's what it was. He gave it a 7 out of 10 and people lost their mind.
Yeah.
There is that too. There's two types of people. There's three types of people. The people who don't care, and I would gladly put myself in that list. I really don't usually give a shit. Then there's the people who are worried that an audience may get mad at them if they hate or love a game, where they're like really nervous about it. And then there's another group that I think is pretty wishy-washy. And if they get a lot of hate on one review, maybe they give the next review a little higher because subconsciously they don't want to deal with it. We're only human. That's how humans work.
I think also it's causing a lot of reviewers to jump on bandwagons like they did with Cyberpunk, like they did with like even probably Elden Ring and like a lot of other games. People are only seeing that where it's like, oh, everyone's saying it's good or everyone's
and everyone
saying it's
is
bad.
Not saying something's good. There, I mean, yeah. It's not that is not what's happening.
I think for sure, but I think when it comes to the bandwagon, we also need to say that that's not necessarily insidious. That's just sort of intrinsic to human nature.
That's what so I said. That's humans. Exactly. We are humans. Yeah, humans do that. Yeah. But I just think thinking everything's divergent is weird. Like they're not. They're not that divergent. And then people are like, well, let's analyze it. I think I've already analyzed it. People do that because they're people. They're going to give those scores. They're going to like a certain thing. Context matters, and some of them aren't delivering context. I know a couple reviews lately, I've got a lot of DMs on people are like, dude, there's literally no context for the score from this group or people or whatever. And I'm like, you deal with it with them. I don't want to hear it. But I do get that, but I don't see the divergence. I mean, I just don't. I don't know. Go ahead, Johnny.
Well, I was going to say you see it sometimes for content where someone will shit on a game that's popular. Right, so everybody's loving Elden Ring.
I'm trying not to talk about that. I'm not meaning
right,
those,
and then you'll see sometimes like, oh, this game is shit, just to get clicks, right? Mm-hmm. And we know who those people are who'd like to make those videos. Reviews, which sometimes they play like 2-3 hours, right, of a game, and they're like, here's my review.
Yeah. Yeah, just, I don't know. I think if we all got together, I'm the Death Stranding divergence. But I don't really think it's too divergent because you guys all like it. So it's like, yeah. You can just say it's not for him. If I offer the context, a lot of times I just joke about it because I don't really feel comfortable saying exactly why, because I haven't beat it. So that would be weird. But I love to tease you guys about it. And then on the opposite hand, I may love a game that you guys are like, dude, that's just not... Like, I don't know why he likes it. As long as you offer context, it's not... The only thing that I would say would be divergent if there were no middle scores. And there always are. There always are. But I don't know what it is, but people think... People are like, oh, everybody gave it a 10 or a 1. And I'm like, look at the scores. There's a bunch of 70s in there.
Or, that's, or 6 or 7, sorry.
6 or 7. Yeah.
That's the biggest issue with user scores. Oh. Even on Metacritic, it's either 0 or 10.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they get shafted. And I totally want to say, you've got shafted twice this year. One was Elden Ring getting a patch that made it fucked on day release, technically. I've never seen that before. It's the first time I can ever remember that happening. Consumers got screwed. Consumers also got screwed on GT 7. They got screwed.
That fucking game.
Well, and it's still a good game, because I was actually talking to somebody doing a podcast yesterday, and I was like, that's the problem with GT 7. It's a little bit different in that it's a phenomenal game, but that side bit is so drastic that it's hard to, like, see the game.
They just cucked people.
Yeah, they did. And they did it to people I think they knew they could. Does that... You know how they say don't punch down? I believe in punch in all directions. But you'll hear, like, don't punch down on your jokes. It's almost like GT is punching down on their biggest fans.
Because it's like what Nintendo does a lot. Yeah.
It's true. Now that I think about it, they're all in Mount Fuji, like, so when they punch, they're always punching down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, anyway, so that's my stance on it. I mean, I'm sure everybody can prove me wrong in some way. I'm just saying overall, soft stances that I don't see as much divergence as others. Overall. Once you start looking, you see those 70s. Even you guys. Like, if I love a game, blah, 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 you guys might like it, but you have, like, 10 different problems with it. And if I said put a score on it, your score would be lower. That's
well, I mean, gradations, classic, right? Is Death Stranding, right?
I think people, especially in this industry, need to learn to accept that, because a lot of people just want to push their own opinions on everyone else, and they say, no, this game is an 8. This game is not as good as you think. Stop liking that game, or please like this game. This game is so fucking good. It's like, dude, no, people have different opinions about things. And
it's also different too. If, like, we're talking in a podcast and we're not reviewing it, right? So if all of us are sitting here talking and I'm not going to say, Silver, you got to give this a score, which is different than just talking about it on a podcast, then he's still got his thoughts on it. He just hasn't given it a score. And then if he does, at that point, he has to decide what is a 10 so he can give it a 7. And then you have to decide, well, what's a 1? Some people don't want to do that, guys. I get a lot of people who are like, we should sit down and analyze every single thing. And I'm like, seriously? Do you really? Like, that's sort of anti what we want anyway. Because, and you'll see it from the same poster. They'll be like, you were wrong, this game is really good. Then the very next, you know, you were right, this game is great. And it's like, you're just agreeing with me on one and disagreeing with me on the other. Isn't that how humans work? They're like, no, we need to analyze it. We need to break it down into discrete Excel files. It's just like, dude, I don't think that's needed. I mean, we disagree so and vehemently sometimes on some games. So why wouldn't 50, 60, 70 people? And then when you get 1,000 people Steam reviewing it, why wouldn't they? I will say, when you see Steam reviews I will say this. So if you see Steam reviews at insanely positive, but, like, reviewers didn't like it, or the opposite, usually I think that's a tech issue. Almost every time. That's the way it's felt to me, is that whenever there's a huge divergence between what the, like, what are, what, you know what I mean? And you'll
especially
look
at, on Steam.
Especially Steam, on Steam, because those guys have all these configurations, and I feel bad for somebody who's buying a game. You can return it, but a lot of people are like, didn't boot. That's a bitch. I know where somebody's coming from to post and be mad. Like, that's angry. You're like, how the, it doesn't even boot. You know, Back 4 Blood did that for me. Where, remember, I don't know if you guys remember, that game would boot 1 out of 15 times.
And also, like, with all reviews, don't just look at the number. Also with Steam reviews,
it's got to be context.
There is good data there if you read it.
Yeah. Yeah, do you know where that really hit me hard? PC Gamer reviewed Weird West glowingly, gave it a 79 out of 100. And I was like, That was an incredibly glowy review for that. Not that I have an issue with the score, but what I read when I got to it, I was like, whoa, what? Like, that's that score right. And maybe it was my reading, which is completely possible that I wasn't picking up on a ton of the problems or what they weighed. But it does also seem like people don't weigh stuff in their reviews, where if they do have an issue, they don't say, because of this. That's why I'm always trying to summarize at the end. And I know people are like, that's pretty lengthy. I'm like, well, because I got to tell you why music does impact this game. For example, music stinging early and warning you of an ambush, which does happen. That would ruin my game.
Also, how the fuck did they come to like a conclusion of 79, like instead of 80?
That's difficult. Yeah, Reg, what were you gonna say? That is true.
I was gonna say that also happens the other way around. I know reading reviews that sound kind of negative on the game, and then you come to the end, it is like 90 out of 100.
Yeah, we've seen that before, too. What? Yeah, and that's a context
issue.
But you
complain about a ton of shit. What?
Yeah,
why?
Yeah. Well, and that's why fun factor, I think, is easy. You guys have all had it where, like, a game won't look great or won't sound great with bad audio. Valhalla, by the way, pretty nasty audio. Had some issues with really low kilobyte samples and stuff. But when you take everything into account, some people really liked the game.
Oh, they were talking about Valhalla, that reminds me. I also tried the Ubisoft launcher on the Steam Deck and tried Phoenix on there, and it actually works like with 30 FPS.
I'd play Phoenix on there. That'd be very good. Jose, $5 super chat. I saw a guy get mad at a GameStop employee because the employee liked Fallout 76. He berated the employee, then stormed out.
Why? Yeah, I think we've seen that.
What is... I don't know. It's probably more of like a psychoanalysis like thing of like why would people get mad if someone liked something
that you didn't.
Right,
but that's a person who's at home alone who kicks a dog. I don't necessarily think seeing this GameSpot employee and this person get in a fight doesn't mean that this person isn't a shit outside of there. They may not be. This might have been a horrible day, or they may take games that serious. But sometimes we do film the worst moments. Will Smith just found that out.
Yeah,
you know, you can't slap somebody on national TV and pretend the next day that's not going to come back to like
bite them in the ass.
Dude, you're going to have talking about somebody who's going to have to reap the whirlwind. And those things do happen, and they happen to reviewers. We reap it all the time when somebody disagrees. But yeah, I just don't see the divergence. Maybe that's because we all do disagree on a lot. Like we do, like Johnny will be all, I can't remember what game, but I'll just dislike a game, and Johnny will be like,
but it has multiplayer.
But he also has other reasons where he likes it. And I'm like, what?
I think it's going to happen everywhere. I think it's that. And it's also that, I mean, a lot of us are getting older, and we've spent some years consuming media in general. Right.
Yeah.
Like, and that's always sort of been intrinsic to media.
Yeah. And it's intrinsic to your judgment of it for sure. I think
also the stuff you connect to. Right.
Yeah. Sorry. But one of the things that I will say experience over time, watching shows, let's say reading books, all this stuff. Sometimes I will like something because Disco Elysium. I'll be like, dude, I love that. But I can see a lot of people looking at Disco being like, that's terrible because of the writing. So as long as I say, hey, I like these kind of things. And so that Disco Elysium works for me. It makes sense. But if you just say it's terrible, you're going to have people who did like it go, what? Or if I say it's awesome and I'm in a group of people who play NBA Jam, they're going to be like, the fuck are you talking about? The game sucks.
I did see a Red Letter Media video once where they said something that was like, I think it was Mike Stoklosa who said, like, my generation in particular has a really bizarre obsession with forcing their toys
on other people.
On the subsequent generations.
Yeah,
like
it's true.
Like that you didn't have with the generation before mine. Like, I don't know. I'm making assumptions now, Carrick, but I don't think like your father forced Ranger Rick on you.
No.
The way, say, like my generation will force like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or Transformers or whatever on their kids. Yeah, you have to play with this. Like, yeah.
But I also think the more communication and the more different people that I've met has caused me to be like, oh, well, for example, I always tease everybody about the Final Fantasy thing. You haven't played a real game until you played the original Final Fantasy. And you're like, bitch, the guy wasn't alive. That's how old that game is. How would you dare assume he has to play a game? You know, that's, if he likes Final Fantasy, the new version, that's awesome. He doesn't have, there's nothing to draw comparisons to. So I do think that as we get older, it's harder sometimes to remove those you know, because sometimes you're like, hey, man, I'll do it in my jokes in the review. I'll drop Big Daddy Diesel and somebody like, who the fuck is that? Because I dropped that, and I'm like, well, people get it, and a lot of people got it, but a lot of people are like, all I see is a wrestler slamming somebody into the side of a building. I'm like, isn't that funny? That alone should be funny. But some people don't get it, because it's an older group. But yeah, so I just wanted to say that. Context is big. Let's look at questions there, John. Did we get everybody? Independent games?
Free games. Did we do that?
We did indie game.
We didn't do free games.
We did not do free games?
We did not do free games.
Negative.
We did not do free games. Well, I can confirm.
Oh, because we jumped into the subscription part. Go for it.
Yeah.
All right. Good. So free for everyone. Totally free. Epic Game Store, City of Brass.
Ooh. Interesting.
And Total War, Warhammer 1. And on GOG, Fear 2, The Shattering. That's it with the free games. On to subscription stuff. On PC Game Pass, PC and console, Weird West. And only for consoles, because Crusader Kings 3 is out. And coming next week is MLB The Show 22 for Game Pass, Xbox.
It's weird to see that on Xbox.
Xbox Games with Gold is the next one. Sorry. Gets another site and Outpost Kaioki X or something. Yeah, or Kaloki. I'm not sure.
They keep banging it out with the winners, Plus. Reg. Gold, where you don't even know the game. Whatever.
PlayStation Plus gets Hood, Outlaws, and Legends, Slay the Spire, and SpongeBob SquarePants, Battle for Bikini Bottom, Rehydrated.
Slay the Spire?
Yes.
Good one.
Prime Gaming, so that's Twitch Prime, gets The Elder Scrolls 4, Oblivion Game of the Year Edition.
Really?
Holy shit.
Galaxy of Pen and Paper, Guild of Ascension, House of $1,000, Family Secrets, Monkey Island 2, Special Edition, LeChuck's Revenge, Nanotale Typing Chronicles.
Very funny game.
Plants vs. Zombies, Battle for Neighborville, and like Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion.
Okay, that was a weird group of games. There was like named game, unnamed game, name game, unnamed. Man,
Oblivion, Tax Evasion.
Oblivion, yeah. Okay, go ahead. Any others?
No, but the last one was one of Silver's games of the week, I believe.
Yeah, Norco. Also a very funny game. Yeah, Turnip Bar commits tax evasion. Yeah.
The names are getting out there, guys. It's starting to just become an ad.
Perfect. The end of the list.
All right.
It's perfect for this time of the year because this is like tax season, right? For a lot of people.
I don't know. Is it a tax season game or is that?
Yeah. Listen. Give a little love to the accountant in your life. Not like that. It's probably a tough time for them.
Yeah.
Turnip Boy is a cautionary tale because he pays the consequences of his tax evasion.
Uh oh. Like Willie Nelson did.
We don't condone.
Wesley Snipes did. Wesley Snipes was in jail for quite a
long
time.
He's doing all right.
We had a politician here, like who was like a founder of his own political party, who sat up in Parliament with his tax return set to zero, declared to zero, and ended up going to prison for it.
Yeah, dude, you know that's the one thing.
As a political statement.
And you know this: whenever they're going after criminals, that dude, the drug stuff's hard to get somebody on. Taxes.
That's how they
get you. Always hear that. They'll be like, you will always hear that. Don't mess with the IRS. Police officers.
That's why you need to launder your money. Yeah.
The IRS, dude, one of my friends was like, well, if I get audited, I get audited. And I was like, hold on. They never audit you and it comes out positive on your end. It doesn't happen. If they show up, prepare to be screwed. You don't ever want that to happen. But people just don't get it, man. The IRS don't fuck around.
Well, I mean, IRS might be different, but my work did last year get audited and they found nothing at all.
That's because you're not American, where we're trying to steal everything. Yeah. We want everything. We want your heritage now. We want all your food. We're America. We're bad people. The IRS is how they got Al Capone. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Very much so.
That's how they get you.
So that was free games. Just wanted to drop in Ron R with Super Chat. We'll catch the upload later. Wally Wan says, he did a Super Chat for CLP 1700. CLP, Canadian loser pennies. What's CLP?
Ouch.
Wow.
Hey.
I just don't know what that is.
Hey.
It's buyer's remorse at this point. Ton of people now get mad crazy because the game they like is crap or has MTX. It's the same with Fanboys.
CLP is Chilean peso.
Well, thank you very much. from Chile. I would agree, too, on a lot of that stuff. Let's do some questions. What do we got question-wise?
Just wrap super this up. Quick, connected to the free shit. If you play League of Legends, there's free shit on Prime Gaming to get skins and stuff. So,
Two questions. Yes. And then we're going to wrap it up. I didn't realize it was 110. It jumped.
Let's hit this one from Bronocchio. What do you expect the fall release lineup to be like for 2022? Will it be as strong as February and January?
No.
I don't know. There's Starfield. There's a few big games. Breath of the Wild.
No longer Breath of the Wild 2. Delayed. That's been pushed back.
Oh, yeah. E3 Digital got canceled. I don't know if you want to talk about that. But
we don't have time. I didn't realize it was this late. I mean, I have time, but these guys are at 9 p.m. or something. Or 10.
Oh, true.
Yeah. 10.
10, yeah. I mean, yeah, no, I don't think it's going to be as... I mean, Elden Ring is a huge one, and then Forgotten West is a huge... Like, those are huge games. I'm sure that
Dying Light
Starfield is big. Dying Light 2, yeah. Yeah, true. I forget that game, but that game did gangbusters. Like, it did do well. But, yeah, so I don't think so.
Well, there's the Hogwarts game, but that's summer, right? Or no,
Hogwarts
fall.
Is that's summer.
That's November.
Oh, is it November?
Right?
Darktide is holidays. September 13th. So there's Darktide.
They said holidays 2022. Okay. So, yeah.
And then the joke this morning was that God of War got delayed, but it really didn't. But the joke was, are they making the April Fool's joke? And then it's going to get delayed anyway.
Right.
So I'm hoping that doesn't get delayed, but we've seen nothing on it, which nothing wrong with that. They're probably waiting until they're like,
Monster Hunter Rise expansions in the summer. Yeah. Okay.
What's the other question, Johnny?
Let's do this one from Laser Cat. Dismissing the notion that all games should be like Elden Ring, what changes and innovations would you like to see in open world games and other genres? Are there other recent games that you think have a lot to teach everyone?
Turn off the HUD completely and make sure the game backs you up with audio or stories.
Mm.
I don't like Elden Ring's lack of journal. I think it's stupid. I don't think it's a positive. I don't think it's a positive.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Other positive
some kind
stuff?
Of thing to keep track of.
Journal stuff. Aside, I just meant like an open world games. Like, yeah, give us the ability to turn off HUD and stuff, but like at least have like either signposts or like.
Oh, yeah, you got to back it up in some way.
Dialogue, world building kind of knowing where to go that way. Like Morrowind, you know?
Ghost of Tsushima did it well, Andy said. True.
The wind.
But you can't have wind in every game. I mean, you can have wind in every game, but it would be really a copy if you were like, our wind tells you where to go. Also, be like,
but that's a really good example.
It is.
The way that the Trails games also did it, the older ones, you also didn't have map markers or quest markers. Instead, they told you, like, buy the farm in that town. And you were like, okay, I know that town.
Yeah, and if they have a journal to back that up as well, I would love it. You know, like if they took the text into the journal and you can say, like, what conversation has to do with this, you know, whatever. You do have to back it up a little bit. I mean, some titles you turn the HUD off and you're like, they didn't tell me shit. Like,
because I was going to say in Outward, I love the way how they would say, like, you know, hey, look, when you have this to your, you know, to west of you, like, you know, they gave you these clues that you had to look around and find your way to places, but they didn't have a great journal. That was the problem. So if you have a game where you can track the information that you got in one place easily,
and then use that to navigate. The big problem also is that what I don't want them to do is look at Elden Ring and not look at the huge issue that game has, which is in the end areas are shit.
What do you mean?
So, the end areas of Elden Ring are pretty shit.
Like, are you in terms of like
in
damage?
Terms of enemies, in terms of how they attack you, in terms of the locations, in terms of repetitiveness? It is pretty shit in the later areas. Like, I will admit that
there are some shit areas.
It didn't destroy the game for me, but I certainly, when I see a lot of people saying this is the best game ever, I'm like, did you?
Right.
Yeah, I think
there's some stuff that may you're not even talking about that it would seem like if you're talking about Elden Ring, you'd bring up, but
it still has like the issues where, okay, so there's like, you know, these caves that are kind of going to be similar. There's these like these what do you call it, catacombs. There's always going to be a catacomb. There's always going to be ruins with a place to go down. You know, it still has those like repetitive issues that most open world games have. They just mask it very well, right? And there's like other stuff that kind of,
I don't think it masks very well at the end.
Not at the end, but I mean, like, there are things that like make up for shortcomings, so people don't talk about it as much.
For sure. So there's that. What else? What this year have we seen?
I mean, do we know anything about?
Sorry,
for me, one thing I would really like is this particularly applies to Ubisoft games, but don't be afraid of Dead Space.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Horizon Zero Dawn doesn't have a lot of Dead Space. I mean, it's got slow parts for the narrative, but it's pretty happy in its,
but
icons.
It's just one of those things in open world games that annoys me the most is I can't walk 5 yards without like a random pop-ups encounter or a wild animal attacking me.
Far Cry definitely is
that has to engage
ruinous in that way.
And that's one of the reasons why I love like moving through the open world of Ghost Red Recon Dead. Wildlands of all games for that much, because Bolivia is, and I mean, outside of like the roads and the towns, it's really, really sparse. Like you won't really find a lot of, there's the occasional aerial patrol, but that's it. So just traversing the terrain for that in that game was really, really enjoyable to me.
What do you guys think? Anything else that we would like any of these games have offered that we would like them either to not?
I think more open world games. I feel like rewarding exploration is like a big one for me, for sure. Just I want to be able to traverse a map how I want and explore, like find something and be happy about it rather than just the game telling me, oh, there's something there. Cause then that basically destroys my want to explore, because then I'd know that nothing's there. Right. Mm.
Yeah. Oh, I got a big one quickly. No animations to pick up stuff from the ground, because this in Horizon just kicked my ass. I'm running through, you know, this area, and every time I have to like crouch down to pick up a plant, right? And you're picking up so much of this stuff that it becomes like it breaks your momentum entirely, where I just want to go through, pick up stuff without an animation.
It also depends on the game.
What?
It depends on the game, I think.
He's not saying to remove an animation, is he? You're saying you don't want to bend down and you want him to just ding, 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 ding as he hammers
A? Yeah, like in Elden Ring. You just go by and you pick
That's what
up
I
stuff
hated or... about Elden Ring.
Bro, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's animation. Even in Elden Ring, it makes even less sense because the danger of grabbing something should be predominant.
No, I get that. I just want the practicality of picking up without having to stop.
I think the issue really is more toward making like resource costs actually logical to like crafting instead of me having to walk around and pick up like 40 pieces of wood to craft a single arrow or something,
and that would fix it. So that if you did make the economy make sense,
exactly. So
then
picking it
up wouldn't be an issue because you'd want to. Yeah,
I think for me also depends on the game, because something like Assassin's Creed Odyssey, I love just picking shit up on my horse, or Elden Ring, but then in Red Dead, it was like a slower game, and I loved just like getting off my horse, going down and picking stuff up. It was more methodical.
I tease people think also about that, though. Remember the skinning, Abzi?
You saw every time. But I played that game very slow, and I was very immersed.
It's more of a
sim. I liked it.
It is more of a...
In other games, it might seem frustrating because it's just not the game for it. Right?
I think Silver hit it off. If you rebalanced everything to where it wasn't 45 fucking stocks to make...
An animation.
Yeah.
Reg, do you have any?
No, not more than I already
Like
have,
nothing so. That's popped up that's been aggravating that you hope others don't... Like, well, you've been playing Lost Ark. Is there anything from Lost Ark you wish other MMOs had? Oh, guys... Lost Ark, I made this comparison yesterday. I don't know. I think Reg and I agree for sure. I don't know who else has played Lost Ark, but Lost Ark is such a game changer for MMOs. It's going to be so exciting to see what other MMOs try to do to like match the content of Lost Ark. So I would love to see content where an MMO isn't early access. Every MMO, the name MMO or the genre of MMO is now to me early access every time. It means it's not going to have a bunch of shit. It's going to be broken. Lost Ark is the only one where I can say I did not feel that was early access hidden in the like an MMO moniker.
Because yeah, it was released prior, right?
We only got a fraction of the content that the Korean version.
Yeah, it's unique, right? It's not going to happen. But they did. If I was making an MMO,
that's what I'm worried about. Ashes of Creation, right? They showed a lot of new stuff about it yesterday, but I'm worried about that the content thing because it is very very early. And
question for you guys though: isn't Ashes of Creation an RTS or is that?
No.
There's an Ashes of something that was an RTS that people were using.
Ashes of Alar or something? No, that's a mount.
No.
I know
Singularity,
exactly
Ashes of the Singularity or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, that's Ashes of so? Singularity.
Yeah,
like
okay,
this.
Gotcha. So I was mixed up. So we're talking about what? An MMO? The new one? What's this one? It's Ashes of...
It's called Ashes
isn't
of
it,
Creation. It's
isn't
from...
Isn't it a Diablo-like thing?
No. It's like a third-person MMO. Oh. It's supposed to have a lot of player interaction where you're going to have like mayors who are players who own different regions of the land. And there's a lot of cool stuff. Like you go into like a map and it's going to be only wilderness and monsters and stuff. You build a civilization there and stuff like that. And then it changes and like more dungeons open up and like it kind of evolves. They have a lot of neat ideas that make sense, but it's very, very early right now. They just showed character creation last night and it looked very hefty. Like you can do a lot. You can make, you know, it's a lot of very, very deep character.
When's
creator.
That coming out?
No idea. I think it's a couple of years away.
Yeah. Okay.
Ashes of Singularity? Ashes
of Singularity is the RTS. Okay. Ashes of Creation is this. And then there's the Ashes of something, which is Dragons. There's another Age of Creation, which is Dragons.
The
PvP,
Dragon Brawler.
I believe, yeah. Oh, so there's all this creation, Ashes of, creation of, singularity of.
Yeah.
Anyway, that'll be it for us. Thank you, everybody, for sticking with us for an extra 20 minutes. Thank you for the super chats. Thanks for supporting all these guys. Real quick, Johnny, what are you streaming this weekend?
Yes, some Tiny Tina tomorrow, 2 p.m. GMT time.
You're doing that on purpose, right? All the T's? Okay. Just making sure, because that was very well done, by the way. Bravo. Continue. I like that. That's it? That's all you got?
Yeah, that's what I got. Yeah, it's 2 p.m.
That's all you got.
We're making a day out of it,
he
bro.
He did a good
Tiny
job,
Tina.
Though. Tiny Tina tomorrow, 2 p.m. What?
2 p.m.
Tiny 2 Tina PM. Tomorrow, 2 p.m.
On Twitch.
On Twitch.
On Twitch TV.
Boom. Good job, TV. Johnny. Johnny's mastered English, dude. I think people took it wrong, by the way, too. When I was teasing Johnny last week, I think people took it wrong because I was saying that Johnny and I didn't understand each other and that like at first I was like, if I was asked how easy he was to deal with and stuff, I think people took that wrong and thought I was dissing on Johnny.
I fucking hate Johnny.
I was trying to explain that you ask somebody something when they don't have a lot of experience with things or things are changing that, you know, unlike politics where you're like, I'm left forever. Which it seems like that's the way people go. It's like, that's not the way relationships go. And that's what I was trying to point out. But I think people were like, dude, you just.
No, I got gotcha.
I'm glad you do, because I was like, that's not. I was trying to actually say how awesome and like how much I do appreciate you guys sticking around and being on the podcast this long. Because like,
oh, yeah,
that's what
sure.
I was sort of trying to say is that I got
the
Johnny
first
in
time
here,
I came on, I had my shoddy back, in the back.
It has revolutionized. Oh. Reg used to just have his wall. Then he had the Asian wall, right?
Yeah.
Like I did. Yeah. The Asian separator. I love those things. We both had that. I never get my green screen right still consistently.
Hey, Kirk, remember when we streamed like E3 together and shit? And I was like, shitty ass internet, shitty ass mic. In fucking Saudi Arabia.
And Silver, only person who hasn't changed. Still got the same 480p
webcam.
The statue. No, the statue.
No, it's 1080.
I know it's 1080. Isn't that the one I sent
you? Bought
you?
It for me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But he's still got... And the statues have been fixed. Because we were banging on that because that motherfucking statue was consistently listing to port. And then suddenly we logged in. Boom. Statue fixed. And he's like... Bitches, I can learn. Anyway, that's it for us. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Yeah. There isn't anything coming
dog
up in the next...
An old dog, new tricks.
Yeah, yeah, we can't... Like, yeah. I hate that saying, too, because you can teach an old dog new tricks.
Exactly.
Oh, Silver was black and white. That's true. I forgot the entire black and white thing. He was black and white for a good deal of time.
That was like an anime arc.
It was. It was like different was versions noir. Of Batman the cartoon, yeah. Where noir. It's like it's
was,
this one.
That
it's
was
this
a whole one. Season of Silver.
It was a whole season of Silver. A whole season of yeah. Silver on the screen.
A whole season of Silver.
There we go. Peace out, everybody. Thank you very much for watching us. Hope you enjoy your week.